I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yo, welcome to another episode of Balls Deep Sports on the Black Guy Who Tips Premium Podcast Network. I am your co-host, Rod, as always, joined by, except for that one time, joined by my ever light-skinned Jay Trill. What's up, Jay?
Damn it, man. Can a doctor's note don't work for this agency?
Hey.
I mean, you got the rules on the wall and shit, man. I should be able to be excused with a doctor's note.
It's that asterisk, dog. You got that asterisk on your record now. That was missing for a broke nose. Players play through that, man.
Man, yo, but players is making millions.
We'll talk about conversation later. But you could have played in a mask. You know what I mean? LeBron would have done it. We also have a recurring guest. I think this might be, other than Karen, this might be the first person that's recurred as a guest on the show, if I'm not mistaken.
other than Vic.
Yeah, other than Vic, who was backed by popular and unpopular demand. but backed by just regular popular demand. That's my man, Will Strickland, a.k.a. Wall Street, a.k.a. at Wall Strizzle One on Twitter, co-host of the One-on-One radio show. What's up, dog?
Trying to maintain it, Rob. What's up, Trill? You know, it's an honor to be back on. I feel behind the Bacon Queen, I feel like, you know, it's such an honor to be back on the show again. So shout out to Karen.
Oh, for sure, man.
That means you must have had fun the last time. I wasn't sure if I was running people off on that with all my AKA bold predictions.
You know what? It's all love, though. You guys are doing good business here. You see a lot of people in the middle of the day fucking off work right now because they're on watching you guys. So, you know, that's a lot of love. That's a lot of love.
For sure, man. If you risk your employment, man, we must be doing something right.
We felt like Friday was the best day for people to risk it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to work Friday afternoon. Put us on. Put a cover on your phone so nobody can see what you're doing.
Canuck do say he got his manager in the room.
Oh, damn. hopefully they're not hearing this, but...
Craig, how'd you lose your job on your day off?
Yeah, man. Y'all guys are all premium members, so we need y'all to stay employed.
Yeah, we always brag about y'all being responsible people.
Right. Well, all right, man. Let's get into it, dog. First of all, we got to play the song because... We never do an episode of Balls Deep without playing the Balls Deep theme song first. So let me get this thing off of mute over here and just wait for YouTube. But we got to sing along with Cleveland and Cleveland Jr. More importantly.
You know how when I go in the ball pit of Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That deep?
That's right, Dad.
I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about positive traits. Give a pound into her feelings. Make her mouth salivate. Hey, Tyra, are you listening? We're not talking just the tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
Just here dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much as they do today.
Huh. Sorry to hear that, Scottie.
Where was I?
Next time, go in the game. Balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep.
My boy's talking about
balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love. Oh, we do
take that,
have
take
fun.
That, take that, take that.
Hey,
all up in your videos.
You know, speaking of balls deep, you know, I was having a conversation with Jeremy. That's my younger brother. Now Jeremy, like, what, 26 now? So it's a little old to be having man to man conversations.
Right.
But I witnessed him chicken out on getting his holler on the other day. We were out. We were at Walmart. Young lady he used to work with. Looked pretty nice, and he was just like, well, you know, good seeing you. So I was like, oh, okay, we're getting the car. He was like, you know, I like her. You know, we should have went out sometime. I was like, well, why you ain't hollering?
Right. Y'all was still in the parking lot?
Right.
So it wasn't even too late.
Right. So I made him go back inside and holler.
Okay.
But I told him, I said, look, tell her you want to go balls deep. She's either gonna be like, cool, we can go hang out, or right. You'll know she ain't want food with you in the first place.
Yeah, it's a good icebreaker. And it also immediately gets to the point. You either get rejected or you get accepted. Cause very few women gonna take that one sitting down, you know what I mean?
It could be a ball breaker.
It could be
an icebreaker.
It could be.
Well, come to find out, she had been wanting to hang out with him.
Oh,
he just
man.
Never pulled the trigger.
Well, now you got a chance, man. Plus we know that he gets along with the ladies pretty well. Yeah. All right. Last night, the pivotal game 4 of the finals that were 2-1 in the Spurs' favor. Of course, the Miami Heat have never lost back-to-back games since ever. So I think everybody, for the most part, even people that thought the Spurs would win the series, was expecting a strong Miami return. Game 3 had probably the most anomaly game of all time is offense. Like, I've never seen anyone hot like that didn't have a controller in their hand, because them fools hit everything. At one time, I think Kawhi Leonard hit a shot and the ball was just on fire.
He's on fire.
Yeah. Like,
you know, the crazy part about the game yesterday is it. There was this expectation based on history, because you, as you said earlier, Rod, the Heat hadn't lost back-to-back games in, I think, 47 straight situations like this or something like that. So for them to lose, and the way they lost, it's not even so much that they lost, but the way they lost, the lack of effort, the lack of care, and maybe the realization that they're playing against a better team and that LeBron's out there eating by himself, that the names of the back of the jerseys are just that. Wade, Bosch, Haslam, all those guys. And not to put it on Udonis Haslam or anything, but Chris Bosch and Dwayne Wade, you know, on paper, you think that would be competitive. Mm-hmm. In actuality, it's not. And really, let's get at it. Dwayne Wade. He's cooked.
Call him out, Will. Say it again. I don't think the people have been listening.
As I like to call him, Dwayne Spades.
Yeah.
He floating out them jokers. He walking some of them hearts. Somehow. Them jacks and them hearts keep floating by. You like, I guess he good, but then.
Now, I'm going to tell you the truth, though, Rod. Mm-hmm. He reneging a lot, yo.
He is reneging a lot, dog. Like, you know what it is, yo, is the eye test. It's when you watch him even playing good, the eye test, you're like, I don't know about these shots, man. Like, I don't know if these.
The YMCA shots,
yeah, right. A lot of rim. You know what I mean?
He's not beating people off the bounce. He's not getting to the free throw line like he did. Because Dwayne Wade, that was what the whole rest was about. And I think I said this on Twitter the other night. Mm-hmm. Like, he sat out 28 games of the regular season for this?
Mm.
Yeah. Did he shoot his load in the first couple of rounds where he didn't have to do anything, really?
Yep.
It's all good that you have this high shooter percentage and you're making layups or whatever. But now here's the challenge. And people talked about the fact that the West is greater than the East. But the last 2 years, the East has won against the West. Mm-hmm. You can make the excuse that, oh, well, the West was tired when they got to the finals. At the end of the day, there are no excuses. Mm-hmm. This year, now they're going to say, oh, well, because Miami wasn't challenged in the East, the Spurs are so much better. No, there's a difference. The Spurs got younger. They got more versatile. They probably have the most versatile bench in NBA history. I've never seen a bench that you could interchange so many parts and do so many things with them as this bench. And their bench, their style of play, what they buy into, their system, it's worked for 17 years. And what looks like Tim Duncan getting his fifth ring on 5 different types of teams.
Yeah,
that's amazing to me. From 99 to now, think about the different types of teams he's played on. And he, as I call him on the show, the metronome, is in the middle of that whole thing.
Yeah, it's funny because I think over 17 years, he's a clear MVP of that team. But each time in the finals, it's not clear that he's an MVP for just that specific, you know, 4 to 7 games of the finals. So, like, it has been before, but I'm just saying, like, right now, if I was to pick the MVP, I might pick Kawhi Leonard.
You could go with him, D.L.
Well, my man Boris is my sleeper pick because he the, you know, he the real MVP, like Kevin Durant would say. That dude.
We talk about that all the time, don't we, Rod? We talk about old Boris on Twitter all the time.
Fat man Scoop, dog. That dude is one of my heroes, man. He's proof that it's mind over matter for basketball sometimes, where being smart is better than being in shape. Playing smart is better than playing hard. Hopefully you want to do both, obviously. But, if you can only have one, give me the smart dude that won't mess up the game, man.
Yep.
Dude dunked last night.
Offense and defense.
Yeah, and he dunked last night. It's a wrap.
Dwayne Wade. I loved it.
Yeah, on Dwayne Wade. Dog, until that moment, I was still kind of like, you know what? I can see the Heat finding a way out of this because it's still the best player in the NBA. Man, Boris dunked. I said, it's over. It's, I was running around like Kenny Smith. It's over. It's over.
And you know what? Boris Diaw probably had the best triple single in finals history.
all highlights.
You know, we talk about the triple single all the time on the show. And the triple single, I mean, if a guy gets 8 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists, you go, okay, he's played a solid game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. And he's beaten Dwayne Wade off the dribble. When Popovich says that Dwayne Wade's the weak link on your defense,
yeah.
When do you feel like you'll ever hear that? And we heard that last night.
And we're going to exploit it with Boris.
Yeah. When Tony Parker said in the post game that they actually called plays for Boris Diaw, I was like, come on, dog. That's confidence like nobody else's business right now. Greg Popovich, he might say that Aaron Baines or Matt Bonner. You know what, Matt Bonner? You're better than Rashard Lewis. You're better than Chris Bosh. Beat them off the bounce. And they might go out and do it.
Right.
They will for three strong minutes. They'll go out there and do it. And that's all you want. Yep. That's all you want.
Boris gave you a whole game, though.
But, we talked about that last year that he waited too late to use Boris.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing was, Boris is basically like my superhero because he can do anything in the NBA for 5 minutes. Anything. You know, if you're like, hey, man, lock LeBron down. He got you for 5 minutes. That's it. You know what I mean? You can't do it for the whole half or anything like that. But if you just need 5 minutes of, like, intense rebounding, he got you, dog. And Pop just didn't really appreciate that, I think, until this year where he was like, shit, we can just put him on Bosh so he don't have to move a lot because Bosh just won't stay in that corner anyway. And, if they put anybody on him in the mismatch in the post, we just go down there and abuse that. And that's what they've been doing.
Hey, man, I know them boys for San Antonio can shoot. Like, I always like, you know, most NBA players, they shoot well. But yeah, them boys really can shoot, man. He went out and got a team that can hit the whole team can hit three-pointers.
Yep.
If he wants, he can put a lineup in there from Boris being the big man, everybody else shooting threes.
Yeah.
Or still put a goon in there like Bane.
To
counteract your big man, if they were playing Hibbert and Duncan was having issues.
Dog, he got a dude named Patty Mills that's scoring double digits sometimes.
I call him looking like Parker.
For real, he just comes in the game and hits big shots. Who is this dude?
Jay, I'm going to stop you right now because Rod said talking about light-skinned people.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs are team light-skinned.
Yep. Hey, we're winning this year. We're winning the ring.
They have like 7 or 8 light-skinned guys on their team. And I did say light-skinned. Yes, I did.
Yes. You know, my theory on that, on the Spurs, is that the river water gives light-skinned people superpowers. Because if you check it, a lot of them dudes, once they leave that system, go on to be disappointing to everybody else. Like,
word to Gary Neal.
Word to Gary Neal. Another dude, George Hill.
Yep.
See?
Yeah, we used to be like, George Hill, pretty good, man.
Like, he could start. At one time, you thought he could start over Parker.
Right. Now look at us. Yo, he the weak link, man. They need to get rid of George Hill. That's the problem.
Well, how is he even in the league right now?
Yeah, dude, that river water or something. They baptize them light-skinned dudes in that river water. And they pop out.
But Will, you know what it is, man. They got all them big
one.
We got all them big white women down there giving us that good loving. That's why Barkley be joking.
Can it be Mexican women too? Because there are a lot of Mexican people there as well.
Hey, Barkley be joking, man. But he know, he just don't want nobody else to come down there and steal all the women down there.
Mm-hmm. He got, well, he a comedian, man. But, I can't even take him that serious.
And that's probably why I love me a thick woman. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I know they add to your powers. Like you say, Will, white, Hispanic, whatever. It don't matter. They add to your greatness.
Hey, man, them Spurs, as far as the shooting, it's been, like, even in this game, like, it's really felt automatic. Like, oh, you left them open? Well, shit, then. That's good. Go back down the court.
It's anybody. It's not like, oh, I left Ray Allen open. Damn, he missed again. I left Patty Mills open. I left Borges Diaw open from three. I left Kawhi Leonard, who, for the first two games, you didn't know he existed.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's hitting everything. And it becomes like a, I don't know, it's not even like a contagious thing. They just believe at a certain point they have no fear. They're making irrefutable what happened last year. People called the Heat winning the title last year luck. Mm-hmm. This year, no contest, no conversation. They are up 3-1. And unless LeBron James has something up his cape that's going to make them win three straight, because it's not impossible to happen to the Spurs of all people.
Right.
Because in 2012, the Spurs were up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals against the Thunder. And looked like they were going to sweep them because they had won 20 straight games. Then they lost four straight to the Thunder.
Yep.
And missed out on a chance to go to the finals. So it's not impossible, but it's very highly unlikely, especially looking at the makeup of this Miami Heat team as they're comprised right now.
Well, the thing also about the Spurs, this is the team that went seven games just to get out the first round. So, yeah. You know, to me, they're not infallible, but the lack of defense from some players on the team. Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Shade.
Like some of that, that. And also, man, I don't know how nobody's talking about his turnovers. Like, he's having some of the most god awful, like, gimmies. Oh. They not even like, oh, that's
Bron's
a takeaway.
Been there too, though.
Yeah, Bron got some too. Yeah, but he Bron, so I don't really, you know.
Yeah.
All right. I know the one they're talking about the most, though. The one that Kawhi Leonard got on him yesterday when he was dancing.
Bruh. Oh, man.
That, in a nutshell, that was this series.
Yeah.
That's Dwayne Wade's season.
Yeah, but the way Kawhi played it, he punched his hand in there on every dribble, every twist, every turn to make Dwayne Wade uncomfortable. Right. And when he got the steal, how long did it take Dwayne Wade to get back on defense?
Right. He running behind him like, man, damn, just get it over with and dunk.
Man, you know what it is too, man? For Dwayne Wade, he don't have Siobhan at home rubbing them knees.
Right. She knew what to do.
And she knew what to
she
do.
She knew what to do.
He could win.
Baby, get in this Epsom salt. You think Gary know about some damn Epsom salt? She don't know about no Epsom salt, dog.
Right. She'd be like, look, I'm going to call Jock. He going to come over here and rub your knees. Yeah. Dwayne like, Jock, no, never mind. No, I'm good. I'm good.
Gabby be like, oh, you know what? We're supposed to go to a white party tonight. So, I mean, I know y'all lost and everything, baby, but can you make sure you get ready? I got your suit already out. And Siobhan would have been like, oh, you lost? Well, obviously we're not going out. So, you know, it's time. It's the playoffs, baby. Just go ahead and lay down. I don't need to be a socialite. Not Gabby. She got to be out there.
She got to help. Siobhan got a healthy home-cooked meal waiting on him when he get there.
Yeah. You know what I saw the other day? Gabrielle Union was posting pictures online in a bathing suit during the playoffs with her man losing. What the hell is this?
She got a movie to promote.
Yeah. Siobhan wouldn't have did that. Siobhan would have been home raising them kids, man.
Yeah, the kids.
Or at least she'd have been outside the arena with a sign talking about, he mistreats me.
Right.
But he's...
Yeah. Well, that's after he did her dirty. But yeah, she would. She did go away after she got the money, though. Like, people slept on that, but she did. She did let him have his dignity back after she got her money. He was.
Tripping. I don't know if you guys hear me. Something happened.
Yeah, she he was.
I can't hear you. You can't hear us.
Okay.
No, oh yeah, we can hear
I
you.
I thought I went off for a second.
Oh no. We heard you. We heard you.
The other thing,
I do want to get back to the turnovers real quick.
Go ahead.
The reason his turnovers stick out so much. This nigga don't be getting no assists, man. Like, it's taken off the table. Like, you got five turnovers and four assists. What did you do for me today, man? You came in my house and knocked my meal off the table, dog. Like, that's different.
What
like,
am I eat now?
Yeah, what am I supposed to, how are we supposed to eat, LeBron? I mean, Dwayne Wade, you coming in taking stuff off the table. Like, at least with Bron, there's an expectation of he's gonna set teammates up. Now, they might not hit the shots, whatever, but there's this expectation of, like, he might turn it over three times, but he gonna set you up for eight open shots off them turnovers. You know what I mean?
Right.
Wade, man, him and them floating ass shots and all that, man, it's looking bad for your boy, man. But
people stopped going for that pump fake years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel bad for him because he can't beat anybody off the bounce anymore. And you can see that as much as he's trying to deny that his skills have eroded, look at 9/24/13 when he put up that post or that picture on Instagram about how Kevin Durant said that James Harden, and he believed that James Harden is a better two guard than Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. He says, I will make them respect my game. Well, you know, you had to sit out 28 games this year. You're masking something else. And with everybody talking about opting out for 2014, 2015 to try and get Carmelo or somebody like that, guess who's not opting out because he's going to get that $20 million the next year?
Chris Bosh.
Dwayne Wade is not opting out.
Yeah.
Do not believe that after this series, the way people are going to get on him, they're going to be like, yo, I am Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
I am the history of this team. They can't trade me, and Pat Riley will not trade him, and he knows that. He's going to pull that card as long as he can, that I'm part of Miami. I'm not going to opt out. They need to bring in the pieces to make us win, whatever the case might be, but I'm not giving up my dough. And that's going to be the ending of it. So Carmelo coming down there.
He would be a fool to give up $20 million. He would be a fool because he don't deserve it, which is why you should take it. Like, you know what I mean?
$20 million.
Work the Snoop, though. Work the Snoop. What deserve got to do with it?
Exactly. Get your money, dog. I'm not even mad at him. Like, if the offseason, Bron's like, hey, man, we could all get Carmelo, I'd be like, we don't need him that bad.
That's when they will no longer be friends.
Yeah. You know who else we can get? One of these, like, traveling veteran players to fill in again, because we're not doing this.
Yeah, let's get Danny Green. He's only making $300,000 over there.
So let me ask y'all something, man. If there's a way for the Heat to win, what would it be? What change do you think they could make to win this series? Because they would have to go 3-0 on the Spurs. Justin, I go at you first. Is there anything they could do?
I mean, they already blew out Odin's knees, so they can't go big.
He played 1 minute last night for some reason.
I mean, then Dwayne Wade just got to take somebody out like he did Rondo against Boston.
Okay. Okay. That's a good plan.
The thing is, who? He had to take out Tim Duncan. He is the one person that I would say they can win without Tony Parker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can win without Tim Duncan, because nobody respects Splitter or Baines offense down low.
Okay. You know, another thing I was thinking too, veteran coach move, that Spo just isn't at that level yet. When they were getting blown out, Popovich would have just yanked his starters. Like, he would have been like, y'all look tired. It's a wrap. It's not happening. So get rested. Like, we'll see these dudes in 2 days.
Yeah, he could have did that game three last night. I don't know that he could have done.
Well,
that.
Even last night, they were down so much like most of the second half. Pop would have done it. I'm not saying Spo. Obviously, Spo wouldn't have done it. Most coaches wouldn't have done it. But that's why Pop is the best coach in the NBA.
Well,
Pop be like, what's the difference between losing my 12 or losing my 40? It's really no difference to me.
Yep. Well, see, Pop been preparing them dudes for 2 years. Like, even Will, like you said, since 2012 when they got blew out on them four games by Kevin Durant and them. Like, that was those dudes' learning curve. And even last year, not winning. And so they've been preparing for this moment. Remember I told you, the Spurs, especially Danny Green, he gets off against the Heat. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, the Heat, he gets off against them. He don't have no respect for them. And he didn't last year. So he'd been preparing them for the Heat when he would send everybody except Tim Duncan and Parker. You know what I mean? And start those guys against the Heat. Like, ultimately saying, I don't respect them. I don't want y'all to respect them.
Well, Kawhi wasn't even there 2 years ago. Like, that dude's development has been, you know, key to all this shit, in my opinion.
Yeah, but last year he felt it though.
Yeah, he was there for last year. Will, what do you think they could do, if anything, to get back in this?
Well, Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade have to do more on both ends of the court in order to help this team win, because when they play well, the others play well. Mm-hmm. And if you can get triple singles out of, you're going to get some action from Ray Allen. But Chris Anderson is not playing like Chris Anderson of last year. Mm-hmm. You know, Rashard Lewis was a surprise. If they can get anything out of him, because they don't have a Mike Miller type that hits threes and is dangerous when LeBron goes down the post. James Jones, they've been trying him out. Not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are talking about Michael Beasley being activated and giving them some more offensive firepower. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing with Michael Beasley, though. He might score one basket but give up nine. So
no defense.
At the end of the day, it can't get any worse with him on defense. They may do something. Udonis Haslem may be in the starting lineup in game five in San Antonio. The way that Spo put him in the game the other night is like the last game you'll ever see Udonis Haslem in a Heat jersey at home, the way he put him in. So really, it's very tough. If Miami wins game five and they go back and win game six, then I'm calling a toss-up. But right now, the way it looks and the body language and the way these guys are playing, it wouldn't matter if they had Magic, Jordan, and whoever else out there. If they don't have the bench help, these guys are not going to play 48 minutes and beat the Spurs the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, they're not rebounding, which is a huge deal for all this. Of all the stats that people are looking at, man, that rebounding number is real bad. You know what I mean? I think that's a telltale sign. And the assist number is a telltale sign, because if LeBron's not getting assists, that's more of a reflection of his teammates' play than his.
Yeah, because he consistently passes.
Yeah, he's consistently going to be unselfish and get you that open shot. So that's something about other people not finishing, I think, more than, you know, LeBron just fucking up, you know?
Right, I would say the rebound has always been an issue for them because they're smaller, and they're like last in the league in rebounding. They have to stay competitive on the boards, but 44-27 last night, it's not competitive. What you said about the assist is very key. They have more turnovers in this series than they have assists. Mm-hmm. And if the ball was moving, you would see more of that. But the ball is sticking because guys have to make one-on-one moves. And when Dwayne Wade goes through the lane and three guys stop him, he has to go up the air and try to throw the ball behind his head or find somebody else. And then they're cutting that off too. You have real problems. The Spurs are rotating and playing team defense. They are as one. And it's really tough to see a way for the Miami Heat to win another game in this series.
But, man, I think they really probably should just sit Dwayne Wade. Like, he played minimal minutes and set, like you said, 28 games all year. And they were dominating in the East. I think they should try that again and see how the team works with that. Because then...
Think about what Dwayne Wade would say if he tried to sit him right now in a crucial game five.
Yeah, who cares what he says?
Well, that's the thing is...
that's the difference between what Rob was saying about the difference between Pop and the difference between Spo.
Right. That's what I was going to say is, to me, the solution I would have is I would play Beasley and I would put Wade on the bench. And I would not play Wade, but I would play him with the second unit, man. Their bench is terrible. When they come in, they don't help the team at all right now. LeBron with just some shooters might be able to keep you in the game and keep, you know, long enough to when the bench comes in, you're not getting exposed by Patty Mills anymore. You're at least scoring during those periods of time. Because anytime LeBron's not on the court, man, it's pretty much terrible. So
they look helpless without LeBron James on the court. And that's sad to see when you see the names again on the backs of some of these jerseys, because you would think that they would have more within them to shore up that loss of LeBron on the court, but they don't, and they're not doing the job.
Yeah, I need King James to show up. Not James. I need King James to show up.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is LeBron has done something, an adjustment that I don't know if everybody's noticing, but he's starting to hold the ball kind of like Carmelo, where, like, he's getting it, stopping, facing up, chilling, like looking at his man, trying to break him down, and going one-on-one a lot more often than normal, because the passing ain't working. Like he just been
hitting shots.
He's like, at least I can get mine, because if I don't get mine, we're just not scoring. We're going down the court missing shots. So, you know,
which actually actually plays right into what the Spurs want.
Exactly.
Because if the ball's not moving, where do you have to go on defense? All you have to do is be aware. You don't even have to move. You just have to watch LeBron.
All you got
to
do,
your man.
All you got to do is box out.
But that's why I want King James to show up. See, LeBron James showing up, he holding the ball and only getting 20, around 20 a night, right?
He got 28 last night.
But
that's
King James getting you 50.
Oh, yeah, man. If he scores
50, but
they win it.
If he scores 50 and the rest of the team scores 30 and they lose 81-80, what difference would it make?
Right.
But normally the other games when King James is hitting 50, they've been winning those games. We haven't seen it against the Spurs because he hasn't gone for
35. They barely won game two.
That's not 50, though.
Tony Parker and Tim Duncan hadn't missed those free throws. Who knows?
Yeah, I think just thinking you can just turn it on with a switch, like, now you're going to get 50. I think LeBron has proven that he's not that guy to just be like, well, offensively, I'm getting 50 tonight. I don't care what happens. Like, he's going, like, even the games he got those bigger numbers, he wasn't trying to get the big numbers. He just happened to be more efficient that night. He had 49 against Brooklyn. He shot 24 shots. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, asking for 16 for 24 is, for three games in a row,
how many
is
he hit,
pretty crazy.
How many he hit last night, though?
Like,
I mean, how many shots he take last night?
10 for 17.
Yeah, 17.
And that's only 6 more shots.
And here's the thing. As the immortal Negro poet Sean Corey Carter says, you cannot change a player's game in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
LeBron is who he is. He's never going to be Durant. He's never going to be Carmelo. He's never going to be that guy that goes out and just starts to shoot and not care about his teammates. It's in his DNA to move the ball.
Well,
it's in his DNA to find those guys. And he can't just switch it off and say, I'm just going to go for mine, because that's not who he is.
And we saw what they did to dudes that do that. We just saw it. Like, yeah, Russell Westbrook and Durant can go out and get theirs if they want to, but they make it costly. They're like, it's not going to be efficient, and you're going to end up struggling and getting your teammates out of the game trying to shoot. So, you know, pick your poison. Like, this is, like, unfortunately, they're just not a team with a lot of weaknesses. But, you know, the other part of this is the Spurs have proven to have some mental breakdowns occasionally.
Would you know, so, to get too much play time, but
right, you know,
other than that, Heat fans, it's a wrap, then, B. It's a wrap, B.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? You talked about Kawhi Leonard earlier,
mm-hmm.
and at the beginning of the season, I picked him to be like the most improved player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that he would make that leap this year, but somehow Greg Popovich told him, you know what? We need you to stand down and play 30 minutes, even though you're 21 years old, 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want you to be ready for when it counts. And how do you tell a young lion not to be a young lion?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be that. And he proved that in game 3 and 4, that he's ready for this stage in the spotlight, because he became, I don't want to call him a star, but he showed and proved that last year what he did in the finals was not a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's he's about to be a great two-way player in this league because of what he can do. Some of those drives to the basket, he's big boy and 7-footers and Chris Bosh.
Mm-hmm.
The layup he made going to the basket, holding the ball with his hands like Doc or Jordan and throwing it off the glass, the threes, the strength to defend down low and rebound in traffic, like that's star stuff on both ends. And Kawhi Leonard's made that leap in the finals. That's the most important time to make that leap.
Yeah,
he's doing that right now.
He made the leap to me when he did it on the road, because I've always been like, role players don't ball well on the road. You know, they give you something at home, you can rely on that, but the difference between a role player and a dude that can be an all-star or, you know, even better, is that they're gonna give you that same number at home or on the road. You know, you can put them in the lineup, you go, you get me 20 points tonight, that's what you do. And you know, at this point, man, Kawhi, I had to eat my own words, dog. That dude legitimately went on the road, played two good games against one of the best defenders in the NBA in LeBron James, and then not locked him up, but he did a good job, as anyone could do, one-on-one on LeBron James, which is asking a ton of a dude. And I don't think there's any argument now, like, when it's time for him to get paid, man, he probably going to either have to go somewhere else to get paid, or he's going to accept less for that, you know, for the, to be on the Spurs. Because, like, dude, can
he's staying.
He can ask for a lot of money now.
He's going to stay and he's going to sign his contract via Skype or something, or a representative do it, because this series, it was the first time I ever heard him speak, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
In the years he's been in the league, I've never even seen him move his mouth on court. So to hear his voice was tripping me out because I had never heard him speak. And even for the podium game when he had the 29 the other night, mm-hmm. he didn't go to the podium. He asked out because he doesn't speak in front of the cameras. Like, that's not his thing. He went out, he performed, he did his job. That's how he looks at it. And I like that about him.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll adjust his deal, because he's in the third year of a four-year deal. He's making $1.8 million right now.
Man, a lot of them dudes underpaid. Patty Mills got to get paid, man.
Yeah, well, see, Patty Mills is a clear, they'll find another nigga for that.
No, you know what, though? You can't get... Pat Riley calls this the disease of more.
Yeah.
After guys win, they want more minutes, more money, more TV time, more this. But that's not the Spurs way. And I think that as long as they understand that the Spurs way is this way and it's bringing them success, that they'll make what they can make as long as they can. Like, they'll get an upgrade, but none of these guys are going to get – like, Patty Mills will never make $5 million a year in the NBA unless he goes to another team.
Yeah, he could – like, that's the thing, though. If he goes to another team, they can get another Patty Mills. Like, he's not the unreplaceable dude here. Kawhi Leonard is. Like,
absolutely.
They need him back. They can find, like, George Hill, Patty Mills, same dude to me.
I would say Patty is better than George Hill.
Nah,
man.
Dude, it happens with every, listen, man, I don't know how many years we gotta see this shit. Every fucking year, a dude leaves the Spurs, well, every 2 to 3 years, a dude leaves the Spurs, we go, what a hell of a free agent signing, and then we're looking up later like, yo, dog, didn't Gary Neal used to be good?
Never. He was just a spot up shooter at the
time. Right,
top.
Right. Hey, man. My man Pop be like, Pop is the best coach in the NBA at telling the dude to only do what he's good at.
Or
you can ride that pine. He got Patty Mills coming in hitting spot up shots and only hitting shooting wide open. Like, when you get to another, like, let's say he went to the Raptors and they're like, all right, dog, now we need you to be our sixth man. It ain't going to happen, because now them shots won't be the same.
They won't be open.
Right. He won't be open. The discipline on the team won't be the same. You know?
Props to R.C. Buford and Greg Popovich for figuring out how to turn scraps into sandwiches.
Because
they found these guys in the – Boris Diaw was in Charlotte. Did nothing because the system didn't work for Boris Diaw.
I think he played well. He just didn't like the coach,
man. Nah, dog, they shit on my man every day, dog. Like, I would turn on the radio and they get him out of here. I was like, he ain't even really the problem. He's fat. He's out of shape. I'm like, he can play good, though. Nah, fuck him. He got to go. Soon as he got on the Spurs, they started winning with him. Hey, man, I guess it was us. Boris Diaw was pretty good.
Because he was, you don't kill in Phoenix. Come here and trash, and then go back to another team, and you back good.
Well,
again.
Pop.
I don't know if he's trash. I think it's a matter of system. Sometimes you find guys who are in the wrong system, have the wrong coaches, And I don't want to totally blame it on that. Yeah. But it's not like Boris Diaw hasn't produced anywhere he's gone.
Right.
This is a matter of who he's playing with, because he's always played the same game, whether in Atlanta, in Phoenix, in Charlotte, whatever the case might be. And now he's doing with a better team. A veteran team who understands what each person's role is. And like Rod said, Pop is going to put you in position to do what you do best.
Right.
If all you do is rebound, then do that. If all you do is catch the ball and make open passes, do that. Because if you do anything other than that, I have somebody else over here who can do what I ask you to do.
Like, people sleep on the fact that he'll bench you. And it don't matter who you are. Like, he'll bench Tony Parker, dude. That's crazy. Tony Parker is the finals MVP of that team. Like, it don't seem like it. When you be watching the game, it's like, oh, you shouldn't have shot that three. Why'd you shoot that three, Tony? Oh, all right, then. Patty Mills coming in. Like, it'll happen just like that. I've seen him bench them dunking, dog. We just be like, that's
the man who net last night. He was about to pull Danny Green for not closing out properly on an open shot. But then he made one the other end. Manu was at the scorer's table. He says, Manu, come back.
Yep.
And Manu ran back. He didn't get up and walk back. Like, oh, man, damn. He ran back to the bench, sat down, and he's like cheering and helping his teammates. Same thing with Danny Green when he missed on the Ray Allen, when he ran by Ray Allen and Ray Allen hit that three. He did the same thing. Danny Green came out, told him run to his chest, punched him in his chest a couple of times, sat him down. He's up cheering. There's a difference between being a pro and being a professional basketball player. These guys are pros at what they do because they understand that the collective is going to be greater than the individual. And right now, LeBron James is out there eating alone, and he has no help against the rest.
Now, so, I can't see how they win this joint, but I'm still, you know, hard to count out to me ever the best player in the NBA because you just never know. But with LeBron having lost in the playoffs and in the finals before, it does feel like a lot like watching a repeat where you're just like, this team just can't stop the other team shooting. And LeBron can't overcome that by himself.
And here's the thing. And remember, we talked about this last week. I was like, he back in Cleveland again. And do you stay in Miami? And do you stay in Miami for that? Like,
yeah, you got to. I mean, like, we'll cover it in a second. But I saw an article that said his mind's already made up about what he's going to do in the offseason. And the series won't have any effect on it. So I think he's staying. I think
why would you leave a destination city like Miami with a coach, a GM, with a system around you that's garnered for you, and they've made sure in the past to get you the players you wanted and you needed around you.
Yep.
Dwayne Wade might be a problem, but for the most part,
he's fucking it up right now, man.
He might be putting poison in the water, dog, but right now LeBron James is not going anywhere. And the crazy part is that people are speculating he wants to leave. Mm-hmm. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's not going nowhere, dog.
He might not leave, but I guess what I'm saying is, should he though?
I don't think so, because I think what they have built. Put it this way: the reason people are tripping right now is because they're in the finals
and they're losing. If they were winning, what would they say?
Right, and what they're skipping over in that sentence is they're in the finals.
Right.
They should be in the finals for the next 3 years. Like, even with the same team getting old, they should still find a way to make it back, because they're just that light years better than the people behind them. And unless people make significant roster changes or players make leaps and bounds of improvement within the next couple years, they can't beat the Heat. So that, like, what other team can he go to where he's guaranteed 3 final spots and control over pretty much everybody on the roster? And he feels like that's his crew, like his family, like Dwayne Wade and him are friends. You know, like, as much as Dwayne Wade's contract might be fucking shit up, I don't think Bron looks at him as the dude that's fucking it up. Like, that's his boy, you know?
That might be the tough part, though. It might be some Bell and Barksdale shit.
Yeah, it is. It is, dog. Like, he should, like, if you were doing a 2K15 creator player season, whatever, yeah, you would trade the shit out of Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
But that's not real life.
And here's the crazy part, right? Mm-hmm. LeBron James, for all that we're talking about right now, and we're saying that he's going to be there, when you have an opportunity to win multiple championships, you're the third team in NBA history to go to four straight NBA Finals. This is what this team was built for. Mm-hmm. In this era of this CBA, 3 to 5 year window is realistic.
Yeah,
they're at the fourth year. That part is done. Mm-hmm. Just like Tim Duncan won with 5 different teams over his career, different looking teams with the Spurs over his career. What's to say that LeBron James won't do the same? When Magic Johnson came to the league in 1980, he won the finals in 1980. They won in 82. They lost in 83. They got swept in 83. Mm-hmm. They lost in 84 again before they won in 85. So at the beginning of his career, Magic Johnson was 2-2 in the finals. LeBron James could easily be 2-3 right now.
Yep.
If they lose this. Does it change his legacy? People talk about that all the time. It's not done yet.
Yeah.
They could bring in a whole new crew next year, and they could win it, and then what?
He's 29.
Right.
Like,
that's his prime. That's like in the middle of his prime.
Like, not to be too cynical, but he could actually wait Dwayne Wade out. Like, not to be, you know, you do want to try to win it every year and shit, but he could just be like, I'm going to wait 2 years until this dude is gone or takes a significant reduction in salary.
He only has 1 year left on his contract. They might, you know, give him that patches, like, yo, it's been a slice, dog.
Right.
We can really offer you a new deal.
Because can they amnesty away?
To go away.
No, they can't amnesty. They use that on Mike Miller, I think.
No, it was on it's Miller got. Yeah, he did. It was Miller because they traded your boy Joel Anthony.
Yeah. Yeah, so they used it already. But I mean, but dude, it don't. It's like, I know it sounds fucked up because I'm basically saying they won't win it next year, most likely. But not, by the way, not a guarantee. I mean, Tim Duncan tears an ACL and they're back in the finals and they probably win it, right? But, I would roll the dice. I would just be like, let's do what we did this year. Wade will be gone after this or take a significant reduction in role on the team. And, we still got LeBron James. LeBron James is the biggest fucking advertisement for getting a free agent in sports.
Hey, you still take got Shuttlesworth.
Take it back to spades, Rod. Take it back to spades when you got LeBron James.
Yeah, you got
the big jokers.
Right.
No doubt.
You want to play that hand.
You got the big joker, dog. Everybody is, man, like, he's the best spades partner, speaking of which.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, everybody want to play with him, man. It's wait till 2015 or whatever those free agents are. And it's like, look, man, we're going to either let Dwayne go or we're going to pay him significantly less. But what you trying to do?
You know, what I talked about on another show was that the Heat could possibly trade Chris Bosh and Mario Chalmers to Minnesota.
For Kevin Love?
For Kevin Love and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those pieces, a young guy who played great down the stretch that nobody's talking about and sounds funny. We won the national title with Louisville. It's Gorgie Jane, right? Mm-hmm. And it sounds funny.
What sounds funny? Because we don't know any of the other players' names of Minnesota.
We did a Game of Thrones or Minnesota Timberwolf game, and it was real close, dog. I wasn't sure who was playing, any of those dudes were just names from Game of Thrones.
Dang is young. He's athletic. He's limber. And he actually learned how to score in the NBA. He had a decent, 15-foot jumper from the free throw line in college. But now the game is spread out a little bit more. And even though he plays in Minnesota, he played very well in the time that he had. So I could see him as a young guy. And again, you have to infuse young guys in your team to help you win games who can contribute right away. I think he's one of those guys. Then you have Kevin Love, who is like, he puts up numbers on a bad team. I've been giving them the business for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Because they said, oh, when he and Ricky Rubio are healthy together, they're going to win. Crickets, nothing happened.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it might be Kevin Love.
Kevin Love is, the jury's still out with him for me. I don't know how people automatically do this. Well, you got a legit superstar. You put him on the Celtics and I'm like, I don't know that. You know what I mean? Like, show improved, dog. I feel the same way about him that I felt about Kawhi Leonard, where I was like, I'm not against you, but if you go on the road and you put up these games, I'm down. I'm like, okay, you proved me wrong. From now on, I expect a lot out of you. The thing with Kevin Love is he ain't been to the playoffs, man. I don't know.
Not
like
close.
I need to see. Like, I don't know that you can build around him. What's the difference between him and Sharif Abdur-Rahim right now? You know what I mean?
Thank you.
I've seen this show before, is all I'm saying. No offense to Kevin Love. When I watch him, the eye test is beautiful.
And as much as they talk about getting the Carmelo down there, or maybe like a Kevin Love type guy down there, you know who's more likely to go to Miami next year?
Who?
Kyle Lowry. They will have a real point guard.
They really need a point guard bad, dog.
And if that happens, I know that Raptor Nation would be upset with me because I keep saying this. But if you think about it, the money works out. One of their needs gets shored up by a guy who should have been an all-star this year. You get rid of the Chalmers. You don't have him on your books. You know, it's a lot there. And it makes sense to me. Like, if he had to choose between playing in Toronto, which, he's building something, or going to Miami, where he could be the missing link right now. You never know. I think he has the kind of mentality that will work with that team. And you talked about Patty Mills shooting wide open shots. Kyle Lowry, you give him wide open shots because LeBron is penetrating and kicking out. He's going to make decisions. So I like Kyle Lowry on that team if he doesn't stay in Toronto.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of dudes right now that have some potential and might not cost a ton of money. So, I, like I said, to me, it's easier to add to Miami to fix it than to, for LeBron to go somewhere else and start over. It just
seems, no doubt.
Balls D Sports, we got an email. This is from my man, Black Rob. He says, Melo to Miami. What up, BDS crew? Quick question for y'all. Do y'all find the Melo to Miami talk as ridiculous as I do? Before we even get to the financial viability of this move, from a strict basketball standpoint, this doesn't make much sense. If the Heat want to improve, they need to get better at the one and the five. Improve the bench. Money would be better spent on those moves rather than adding a luxury like Melo to the roster. From a financial standpoint, well, actually, let's stop right there. From a basketball standpoint, do y'all think it makes sense? Just not money, but just on the court chemistry and, you know, with the roster they have to add Melo?
Nope.
Yeah, me neither. What about you, Justin?
I think Melo could fit with them, with those guys. It's not, he'll fit the same way Chalmers would anybody else.
You know what's underrated with Melo, though, is he does play better in the dream team scenario with his peers.
Yeah, but you don't have the rest of that. You don't have a point guard, and you could play LeBron at the point with that team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about rebounding? What about defense?
Right.
Carmelo, the defensive stopper, stop it.
Right.
And so, I mean, again, you're not addressing – you're right. addressing one end of the court, and it looks like an all-star game.
Right.
But you don't have that defensive stopper back there to help you.
But that's because they won't play Haslam.
Haslam is cooked, yo.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who is he stopping?
He stopped. He fouling everybody. He, oh, you mean good defense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're talking about fundamental move your feet.
You mean getting blocks and intimidating those, not just fouling people
and rebounding, man. Rebounding, like solid. You know, you can count on this guy back there to give you 8, 10, 12 points a night and 10, 12 rebounds a night.
You know what?
Get that.
You know what? You know what's almost as good as a rebound? Elbow to the back of the head. It's almost as good. It's almost as good. I'm not saying it's the same. Statistically, it's not even on the roster, on the stat sheet, but I don't think that would fix the, from a basketball standpoint, I don't, like, I think he only play, by the way, I think the dream team shit lasts like, what, 4 weeks? That, I don't know that he can keep that up for a season though. I'm gonna be unselfish and I'm gonna play hard on D and I'm gonna do anything coach asks. Like, I feel like that shit'll last, until, like, every year with Melo, it'll last until about December when everybody's like, yo, you know what? Melo improved on defense. Okay.
But look at the recent history of the NBA where guys go to other teams to try and win a title. Go back to 10 years, 2004, when, Gary Payton and Karl Malone went to LA and they got beat by a better team in Detroit.
Yeah, but they were old and washed up when they did it.
Even though they had Shaq, Kobe, your boy Karl Malone, and Gary Payton, they were just names on the back of their jerseys at that point. Mm-hmm. Same thing that happened when you look at teams like, even go back to Charles Barkley, who came out and said this would be unfair to the league, but he went down in 96. He went down to Houston to play with Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon. And then after that, when Drexler retired, they brought in Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, I was going to say they had Pippen.
And they still didn't win.
But they got those guys when they were old and it was done. It'd be different because Melo not done.
And these guys would come in the league at 18 and 19 as opposed to 22 and 23 years old. It's the same dynamic, just a different amount of years.
Well, I will.
You could be old by 30 if you start at 18.
Well, I will disagree a little bit on the age thing. I think that's a little overrated at this point. Like, niggas is playing today old that came in at 18. Like, they proven that they, can still have something later in their careers. I just don't see it for Melo. Like, he always struggled with staying in shape anyway, and he don't want to play defense. Like, I don't understand. Like, we do this shit every year. Every year for the first month of the season. Yo, Melo kind of playing some defense this year. He might mess around and get the MVP. And then we get to fucking January and be like, yeah, man, he ain't playing no D. Of course he's not playing no D. It's not in his DNA. He just got, matter of fact, he got NA. Not applicable and no D. So yeah, I don't have no respect for his defense. So I wouldn't want to see him go to Miami because even with them losing to the Spurs right now, one thing I think, is underrated is that they do play defense. Like they do that piranha defense shit. they just can't do it against these young niggas, man. These young dudes is like, I'm gonna hit this three though. So it, like, it's a little different now because they looking tired and all this. I don't think Melo adds anything to that. Now let's talk about the real reason it won't happen. From a financial standpoint, I feel like people are forgetting that in order for the Heat to improve next year, they need Wade to opt out of a deal that is scheduled to pay him $40 million over the next 2 years. There's no way Wade can get that money, that kind of money anywhere else. Maybe he signed up for Beats by Dre. I don't know about y'all.
Pat Riley signed him up for that? He knew he wasn't healthy. He had to know.
Yeah.
I thought Pat Riley was the GOAT when it came to this. He out here signing Wade to $40 million deal with bad knees. Mm-hmm.
That's the loyalty deal. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an overrated idea, an antiquated idea in sports. There's loyalty in business. There isn't. Yeah. Because for the most part, if you blow your knee out, an owner will trade you. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, LeBron has to be loyal to Cleveland or loyal to whoever else because the fans say he should be.
Yep.
Because that's how they used to do it back in the old days when, you know, you were entitled to stay with the team under the old CBA. So most people don't think about, like, the financial and the economic situation of the NBA when they're talking about where these guys should go, where they should play. All they can see is, you know, back in 1985, Magic would have never left L.A.
Right.
Or that Magic didn't try to choose the team he was going to play on until you see that in 1979, he said if the Lakers had won that coin flip, he was not going to go to Chicago. He'd go back to school.
Yep.
He wanted to play with Kareem, the MVP of the league. So, okay. So he didn't choose his team, even though they had the most assets on that team. He knew who Kareem was.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to go play with Dave Corzine and you know, guys that were playing on the Bulls at the time. He wanted to play with a team that had a chance to win right out the gate, and they did.
And he got his coach fired.
Yeah.
Nobody talk about that.
I'm going to tell you what the Heat need to do is, you know, Pat Riley keep Alonzo Mourning around for a reason. And he's security. I figured it out.
Yeah.
He's security. And he just need to lock Alonzo and Wade in the room with the new contract, and I guarantee you Dwayne Wade will come out with that new contract signed.
Hey, man.
I disagree.
Yeah, you can't talk him out $20 million, but
it's not about talking him out.
Not even about talking.
Yeah,
it's force. It's by force.
You're not gonna beat him out.
It's gonna be the Vanilla Ice contract.
I'm gonna help you out. I'm gonna help you out, Dustin. Here it is. There's nothing on record that shows me that Alonzo Mourning will put those hands on Dwayne Wade. I saw him fight Larry Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He missed it close range, dog. I don't believe it.
They was shadow boxing.
Yeah.
I don't believe it, dog.
They can put them in the room together and they come out laughing.
Right.
There's no fighting that's going to go on in that room.
Plus, here's the other thing, man.
Why you got to call Alonzo Mourning out like that, man? He loved the Hornets like when he was here. Dog. He loved the Hornets when he was here. I loved Mourning when he was here.
The other thing that people sleep on with NBA contracts, and it's funny because every offseason they forget about this shit, but pretty much happens, you know, on a regular basis, and unless the new CBA doesn't allow it, a dude with a big contract becomes a huge, huge trading chip in that last year. Cause teams be wanting that shit off the books. Like, oh, I can get $20 million off my books? Please. Yeah, we'll take them. Like, somebody somewhere, all you need is someone to have a disgruntled player or, you know, a dude that's like, I'm not re-signing with you guys. And you might be able to ship Wade off if, you know, for that $20 million, that $20 million is going to be so fucking, it's going to be such a temptation to teams that have been messing up. Like, if I was the Knicks, I'd be like, how do we get this dude on the team? I don't care who we got to give up.
Yep.
I mean,
they would clean their entire books by next year.
Right.
Like, everything would be gone.
He's like a get out of jail free card, man. but you just never hear people talk about that until we get halfway through the season. Then it's like, well, you know, there's rumors that they might be trying to trade Dwayne Wade. Yeah. Yeah. I want to fix my team.
Denver normally make deals like that. Philly like to make deals like that.
Yeah, all the people with bad GMs who overspend do that. The Lakers, like, no offense to the Lakers. I mean, cause they actually, you know, have cleaned up their shit, but the Lakers used to be the team to be like, hey, man, looking at these numbers, dog, Kobe is making a lot. What can we do? You know what I mean?
They'll be at the NDBL draft trying to find guys to fill out that roster.
What,
Kobe's eating at almost 50% of your salary cap. Yeah. Come on, dog.
They sitting around like, so you say you J.R. Smith, little brother?
It's some NBA DNA, you know?
Yeah. There's no way Wade can get that kind of money anywhere else. I don't know about y'all, but Wade strikes me as too much of a dirtbag to leave that kind of money on the table. You're not a dirtbag for taking that money, by the way.
He's just a dirtbag.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with that.
It has nothing to do with the
nothing
money.
To do with that contract. You take that fucking money. Do not be stupid. Plus, the Heat can't amnesty Wade because they used their amnesty on Mike Miller's contract. For the longest time now, I thought there was no way LeBron was leaving Miami. But if the Heat lose the series, that looks likely at this point. Yeah, I don't agree with that. And Wade doesn't opt out to give the team some flexibility. I could see LeBron looking to go to another team. He definitely isn't going back to Cleveland, but what are some likely destinations for LeBron if the Heat experiment blows up? Love the show, guys. Black Rob. The most likely, destination if the Heat experiment blows up is the Heat. It's much easier to fix a car that got a flat than to try to, like, buy a new car, dog.
I get what you're saying. I know you're saying LeBron not leaving, but if you had to pick another team, what team? You got to pick a team.
If I absolutely had to pick a team?
Yeah. You got to pick a team. What team?
I mean, since we just can make up any team.
Right. This
is all bullshit.
This is NBA 2K. Pick your team.
Yeah. I just take them to Charlotte because I can go see that nigga 41 times a year.
What about you, Will?
The Clippers. I was sending it to the Clippers. You know that he has a relationship with Chris Paul, that if Blake and Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan can't get it done, then you take a game changer like LeBron, put him out there with DeAndre Jordan, a live body under the basket, who can rebound and defend. You have Chris Paul, who's a leader, and you put shooters around them. Lights out. I trade Blake for LeBron right now. If that was the situation and I could get that, you get Blake Griffin down in Miami, dunking on everybody in the East. You know, you can put some pieces around him and do whatever. But if he had to leave somewhere, I would say the Clippers right at the gate.
What about you, Justin?
Obviously the Lakers. Yeah. But the smartest move, I will agree, would be to go to the Clippers, what Will said.
Well, obviously the smartest move would be the smartest move would be to go to the Spurs. I mean, we're being real.
You couldn't put money on that.
Yeah.
The smart move would be just go to the Spurs.
I mean, if we're being real.
Kawhi, if they're like, hold up, dog. The Lord don't need a punk like you.
Get off my square, punk. Right. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? We've already won. We already beat you without you. Why do we need you? We could beat everybody else. If we beat the best player in the world without you, why do we need you?
Smartest.
So they'll never take LeBron James.
That's why it's his smartest move.
Right.
Because they're the only team that don't need him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Every other team would be like, hell yeah, dog.
And that's
what's
he wouldn't be happy though, because
who don't you like on our team? That's how much other teams are so committed, they willing to be like, yo, any of these niggas, man. If you don't fuck with them, just let us know who to talk to.
Oh, you don't like Chris Paul because he punched people in the ball?
Right.
You just been acting at the All-Star game? Cool, he gone.
The Clippers would be like, but I thought y'all was cool though. Anyway, I go talk to him. So
his locker already been packed.
No. Yeah, like they don't care, dude. But yeah, that's what I think. Since we making up bullshit,
he can't go there because he won't play enough minutes, though.
Dog, he don't. You think no?
He does not care.
Hold up.
If LeBron James could play between 32 and 33 minutes or 34 minutes a game in the NBA and still score 25 points a game, get 8 rebounds and 7 assists, you don't think he'd do that?
He used to care.
I'd do that?
No, he got Paul Silas fired because of that.
That nigga, he was a 1 year in the league. And also, you've been on this show for the last 6 months talking about he played too many minutes. You can tell he tired. He don't want to play that many minutes with Dwayne Wade. And now you gonna say this? Man, next topic. Anyway, we talked about the finals.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Let's move. Let's see how fast we can move through some of these other articles, man. Not big news, but Carmelo Anthony intends to opt out. So he'd rather lose that money than go back and play for Derek Fisher and Phil Jackson.
Smart decision.
Yeah. I mean, all I can do is laugh at the Knicks fans.
But who gonna pay him?
Mark Cuban.
Yeah, somebody will pay him, dog.
Mark Cuban's going to pay him. Houston has to give up too much. They already had two max contracts in James Harden and Dwayne, or in Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard might be in jail by the time the new season starts.
So, I don't know if that's a mic.
Now, he'll be in court. Come on, y'all. Right, it takes a while. It takes a while. Yeah, it takes a while to lock up a rich man.
Because he don't have owner money. He only got player money.
And you know what? Technically, they have less evidence than they did against R. Kelly. So
no doubt.
He might get off, dog. He might get off again.
Speaking about R. Kelly, Chicago has an opportunity to get Melo too, but you don't know what you're going to get with Derrick Rose coming back because you don't know how his knees are. And what do they have to give up to get Carmelo in Chicago? They have to give up Butler and Taj Gibson. Mm-hmm. They're giving up way too much, and they had no defense, and then there's no team.
And you know, we don't know how Rose feels about playing with him. Because Rose didn't want to play with LeBron.
He doesn't like it. There's something wrong with him, man.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody cares about what Rose wants right now. After you sat out the last two seasons, they don't care.
Oh, yeah. They don't care, I guess. But on the court, it might matter, is what I'm saying. Like, this nigga out here pouting and shit, man. You know, these light-skinned dudes, man, you got to be real careful with their emotions because you don't know how they're going to react.
There you go. You got Reggie Evans in the league out here.
They're going to be out here. They're going to be out here pouting and singing in auto-tune and shit, man. You gotta back off them brothers, man.
You got
man.
Dudes like Greg Oden and LeBron James looking like father-son combos out here because they don't age well with their dark-skinned genes.
Look, man, I'm a fan of DeBarge as much as anybody else. But I'm just saying, dog. Like
You got dark-skinned cats like D-Wade out here trying to injure cats' career but with the leg sweep.
D-Rose going to come back and be like, you know what, man, I don't feel confident in my knees.
And the ultimate dark skin team will be the Pacers with their emotional.
Temptation
singing group.
George Hill, Paul George. They only got one dark skin dude. That's Lance Stevenson.
They got Lance, Hilbert, and Paul George.
Nah, Paul George light skin.
Are you making them be light skin?
That picture they took?
Yeah, they look like Shy. Come on, man.
Nah, they out here looking like the Temptations out here.
Yeah, they definitely not the ultimate dark skin. We could find somebody better. I'm not saying that it's not one out there, but it's not them. Maybe, I don't know, I have to think about this one. Where's Drew Holiday? All right, so yeah, Melo Mike. Melo might, man, this show will never be able to be aired. I'm serious. Melo might opt out, man. So, you know, that's smart.
And he would have stayed if Phil would have just shut up about that money, man.
Phil's, you know what, though? Phil did that move where you know your girl going to leave you. So you might as well look like a boss on the way out. Cause he was like, oh, he need to come in here and talk about this contract like he promised.
Right.
Yeah, because he was leaving. Dell Jr. Left Ron Newman at the airport Friday morning. After Newman had arranged to hitch a ride to Michigan International Speedway. So and of course Dell Jr. went ahead and tweeted about it.
I guess they ain't free.
Where the hell did we get rampant black redneckery up in here?
Hey man, we're a very versatile show. We don't just talk about the stereotypical sports. Weekend started off on the wrong foot, left Ron J. Newman at the airport. Forgot he was riding with us. I'ma pay for this one. Yeah, that's a hell of a way to find out. If you're Ron J. Newman and you get that mentioned on your timeline.
He's still waiting.
Yeah, he's sitting in the airport like, the fuck is this?
He wondered why Dale ain't answering his text. like, hey, bro, where you at?
He says, I'm hoping and praying that the reason at Ryan J. Newman isn't responding to my text are because he is at 40,000 feet. Please be at 40,000 feet. he got Ryan J. Newman got left at that airport, dog. Earnhardt, however, told reporters upon arrival at the track that it totally slipped his mind after his schedule was moved up for 30 minutes for media commitments, that he just woke up, got ready, drove to the airport, got on the plane, and took off. Didn't know about the change, didn't look at my calendar, and when I got up this morning, I didn't look at the clock. I just got in the shower, went downstairs, got in the car, drove to the airport, got in the plane, Earnhardt told reporters, I forgot about Ryan. Newman arrived at the airport only to find no Earnhardt, no plane, no ride, with sprint cup practice beginning at 11 a.m. Yeah, they got a picture from his text that he sent, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and it just say, y'all left me. Oh, I know he was hot, dog. Oh, my God.
He had to play it off like a prank. Ah, we punked you.
Yeah, his wife responded, Chrissy Newman. She said, at Dale Jr., he should be. At Dale Jarrett had a plane heading up, so guess he caught a ride on private plane. Cause them niggas is rich, man.
Yeah.
Them rednecks are rich as fuck.
I wonder if they're riding with Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen, though.
They might be, dog.
You know, wheeling and dealing, you know.
You think he ain't mad?
Speaking of being
mad.
He's still mad. Speaking of still being mad, though, Rashard McCants. Not only did he go out there and snitch on everybody, which, you know, I believe him for what it's worth, but it's that Jose Canseco thing where me believing you is not enough because everybody keeps bringing up your character. But I'm like, but he telling the truth. And then niggas, because I'm in North Carolina. So everybody at the basketball court, when I bring it up, be like, yeah, dog, but he, look what he did, though. He just mad. I'm like, yeah, but if he mad and he's saying the truth.
He still got facts.
Why did he sit on it for, 10 years?
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Why did he sit on it like that? And again, to evoke the words of that immortal Negro poet, Sean Corey Carter, mm-hmm. We don't believe you.
You need more people. He does, yo. The thing that's funny is, his axe to grind might be the dumbest axe to grind in the history of all beef. He thinks Roy Williams stopped him from having a great pro career by telling people he had a bad attitude.
He did have bad attitude. He was terrible in Minnesota.
And right.
The worst part is Roy Williams is lying, acting like he doesn't know they were taking sham courses. Mm-hmm. At North Carolina. It'd be different if North Carolina didn't have a history of doing this with the athletic department, especially with football. What's to say that if, you know, it's like cancer, dog. Mm-hmm. If you have lung cancer, there's nothing that says that cancer won't spread. And it's not a part of your entire body.
Yep.
And North Carolina's academic or athletic department has some things to answer for. Because Roy Williams, to act like he didn't know, mm-hmm. disingenuous.
Well, you know what's funny is he's clearly mad at Roy Williams because Roy only coached him 1 year.
Yeah.
Like, if this shit was going on, it was going on under Darty, too. He not mad at Darty. He mad at Roy. So, like the fact
Roy's
that
he's still the coach. Matt Doherty right. is awesome. We're doing some, you know, insider trading or something. He's not a coach anymore, is he? I don't know if he's a coach anymore.
Yeah, I don't even know what he does right now, but I'm just saying, like, for him, like, if I think if Rashard would have been like, the program is the problem, it still lands at Roy's feet without him, like a chess move. Like, I'm not going to say his name, but yeah. They got a problematic program and it even affected basketball. People would actually ask less questions instead of being like, well, Roy only coached you 1 year. It's like, well, he's the head of the program and you say the program's shady and they've had these other issues, hence Roy Williams. Instead, they go, well, what's your problem with Roy? Since he brought up Roy, I'm like, well, he fucked up my professional career. And everybody's like, oh, well then, yeah, we don't care now.
Well, Rod, you're asking somebody who plays checkers to play chess.
Yeah, it's impossible.
They don't play checkers.
Yeah. I mean,
you play Go Fish.
Yeah, they don't like him, dog. Apparently, there was like a Facebook thread about it, which is crazy in the world of 2014. Facebook is where we're getting our scoop, man. But somebody said, Kate named Kay Thomas said, it's hard to play for two coaches, just saying. Mike Williams said, total D-bag move at this point in the season. Sucks. James McCant.
Sean Pops.
Some relation said, he did what was best for him simply because and this is all caps from here on. The current coach is a piece of shit asshole. And I, the only word that's not capped, Don't recommend anyone get recruited by him. He will wreck your career if you are not aware of his underhanded tactic and insincerity. Beware! 8 exclamation points.
Well, apparently James McCants is aware of Roy Williams and his kung fu treachery.
Mike Williams said, come on, James, is that really what you want out there on Facebook as the parent of two Tar Heel B-ballers? James McCants says, I have nothing against the institution, but the coach is rotten. He has done nothing for my son but hurt his career. Robbie Beck says, why is Rashard
Hold on, hold on. His comment about nothing against the institution is the exact opposite of what you said, which is exactly why they're having these difficulties.
Right. That's the problem. They made it a personal grudge when they had, if they could, God damn it, man.
And it's in writing.
I'm a Carolina fan and I'm like, this is more frustrating because y'all fucked it up. Like, just be like, the program is fucked up. And they'll go get Roy Williams for you. You don't even have to say it anyway.
They need counseling, Rod. You need to give them that counseling, dog.
Yeah, I don't help snitches, but just saying. I love me a good conspiracy plot as the neck, much as the next man, but damn, the way to mess it up. Robbie Beck says, why is Rashard having so much trouble getting on an NBA team? He's got all the talent in the world. Why won't an NBA team take another chance on him? Robbie Beck's what we like to call a passive aggressive instigator. Cause guess who shows up in the thread next? Rashard McCants.
Rashard McCants.
He says, the good old boy can never do wrong. Ha ha. And Debo, how can you defend this dude when they wouldn't even let you in the Dean Dome to watch a game as a roommate and a friend? The truth hides behind fear.
Somebody comment was deleted. Had to be.
Who's Debo?
Right.
Is that a nickname for Mike Williams? That might be, maybe that's Mike Williams' nickname, dog. Rashard, I'm as big a fan of you as any out there. Love watching you at UNC and in the NBA. I hope you get back in the court soon. My comment about old Roy was meant in jest. Debo, I remember, so somebody else is Debo, maybe Robbie. I remember the day you committed to UNC when, and they didn't hit the see more button, so I don't know what happened. Mike Williams, I don't know anything about you not being able to get into the Dean Dome. Rashard said, the good old boy can never do wrong. Okay, we got that shit already. Rashard said, yeah, I was there in the flesh when he was recruited. Was one of the happiest moments just because I was the only guy to dunk on him in high school history. Debo, an all-star. Oh, yeah, Damian Debo must have deleted it. He said, LOL, always bringing up old stuff, Shot. So they know he crazy. That's how you treat crazy. You be like, aha, you got me, dog. Oh, yeah. There has been enough damages to Rashard by this man. It's time to stop, said Daddy. Mike said, I'm just a UNC alum who loves Carolina b-ball and all you guys that played. There's an army of guys like me everywhere. We all want nothing more than to see you successful off the court. James said, that's not good enough. Rashard had not been treated like family from the time that coach got there until the time Rashard left. And he continues to present mendacious reports. Wow. That mendacious on him. Reports to coaches and GMs. He is a career record, and I advise the new recruits to beware this man and his facade. Man, I thought he was dumb earlier when he didn't capitalize that eye, but now I'm back. James McCants with Mendacious Reports. That might be the name of the damn podcast, dog.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's good. So, yeah, man, they just, anyway, it was a personal gripe, man, and it's all over everything now. So, it's kind of sad. Here's something that I've known and been saying for years, and, I think most people in mainstream media can't say it because it's a bit too, salacious. But white people are more racist against LeBron James than, anybody else.
No, you can say that because they had an actual study.
Yeah, now we got a study, and I can say it as a fact. Like, I was saying it just from the standpoint of a dude that talks to a lot of people about basketball, and my anecdotal stats were ringing up with a lot of angry white people.
Hey, man, we just need to come up with random studies to get money. Like, you know what? I'm going to need $1 million from Chapel Hill to do whatever random study is going to take, like $15.
Yeah, I would love to do this, man, for a living. But I only want to do racist or shit that I suspect. You know what I mean? Like,
It's like we say, though, right? Like, the study was not about white people. Mm-hmm. The study was about LeBron James and who likes him and who doesn't like him because – and I think I got this from Morgan, and it was funny when he said it because we used to say it all the time on the show. The first time you see a study about white people, will be the first time you see a study about white people.
So you got to do a study of why do people hate Cam Newton, and then you'll find out is most of the white people.
Mm-hmm.
Probably so.
Okay.
But, probably so. But the things that people dislike, like LeBron or most big black athletes for, are things that have nothing to do with what they do on the court. Because they still watch the games. They still go to the stadiums. They still buy the jerseys so they can burn them, whatever the case might be. But what they do off the court, which I don't know how much that means to people or why it should mean so much, because no one's following you around at 7-Eleven at work where you work and talking about your character and how you didn't you stole some Slurpee and you didn't take a cup. You just put your mouth under the thing. Nobody's talking about you like that.
Well, you know what's funny is it only counts for bad shit. It only counts for shit you don't like. Like, to be honest, he's probably the cleanest image in the NBA outside of the court.
Easily.
You know, like the one thing he did is still, I don't care what people say, it's still my favorite moment. And one of my favorite moments in NBA history.
Did he fuck your teammate wife?
No. One of my, Tony Parker? What? No, but he's one of my, it's one of my favorite moments because I saw a young black man exhibit power and take over the entire sports cycle and news cycle for a good fucking week just based off of where am I going to go and give that money to the Boys and Girls Charity. And I was like, this is an amazing display of branding, agency, for yourself, for your friends, your family. I mean, this is a dude that, you know, let his friends be his agents and shit. Like, I thought it was amazing to see. And I never needed an apology. I never thought he was wrong for it. It might have came off as arrogant to some people, but I mean, what's so bad about arrogance? Unless you're insecure, it really shouldn't bother you that much.
Right. You know what? Something you said though, Rod, and this is a great part about what LeBron James did. Maybe the execution of it wasn't done properly or whatever the case might be, but when you talk about, here's a guy who married his high school sweetheart, took less money to play with his friends and win titles, because that's what you're supposed to play a sport for, especially at the professional level. The worst thing he's ever done that we know of is get a speeding ticket when he's 21 for opening up a Lambo at 110 miles an hour on a 40 mile an hour road, which he's 21. That happens. And you talked about what he did as far as putting his friends on. Now, we always talk about loyalty and friendship and the things that matter at the end of the day. And somehow the guy who was, you know, I guess doing all the things we ask of our athletes, our pro athletes to do is to be, I guess, this industrious, hardworking team player on all levels. He's doing that and he still gets the vitriol, which for whatever the reason is, if you strip everything away, what's left?
Right.
The reason for them feeling the way they feel? Well, we know what that is.
I think he makes a lot of people feel powerless, like insecure people. They feel like, I don't want to support watching this thing. And then you sat down and watched it and you were furious because he, you know, he got you.
That's a good product.
But it's been so long that now it's like, and you know, the thing that I thought would have shook everybody's like, shook everybody's position on this is when that letter came out from
Comic Sans.
Yeah, the Comic Sans Dan Gilbert letter was enough where I was like, this is a confirmation of just entitlement and ownership that nobody here will want to work for this guy. And you still got people that, well, what about Cleveland? So I don't know, man. Just,
well, here's the thing. The same ones that were burning the jerseys are now running out on the court and threatening bodily harm to themselves by cops. To get him to come back to Cleveland. And LeBron, you know what LeBron should have said when at the end of the decision? The price of the brick just went up.
Oh, man. That
would have been classic to me.
The other thing, too, is like I felt bad for him in a way because he never looked comfortable because he doesn't like to be the bad guy. That's not really his thing, you know, like to, like some dudes, like Kobe is one of those dudes that really doesn't care what you think about him, even if you're his teammate. Yeah. You know? But LeBron is a dude that.
Don't talk to me.
Yeah, don't talk to me. You don't got enough accolades. But but LeBron's a dude that does want to be friends, man. So yeah, I think he regrets it only because something inside of him was like, this won't go over well and I want to be liked. So, and then he had that whole year of trying to be the bad guy and he had to drop that shit because that's not him, man.
Right.
Quinn Snyder is now the Jazz's head coach. Not that I really care, but we talked about it.
Is he related to Dan Snyder?
I hope not. They might change the name of the team to something offensive.
Because, you know, they do that, you know, the same way, you know, Steve Kerr got his job is, you know, is who you know.
Nepotism.
Yep.
Now, Quinn Snyder was like the coach of, where the fuck did he used to coach?
Missouri. When he was in Missouri, that's where these issues started.
Yeah.
And he's from that Coach K coaching tree.
Mm-hmm.
So. And he played for Coach K at Duke. He's a point guard there, and he's after the Missouri debacle, he had to coach in the minor leagues in DBL,
mm-hmm.
and came back, sat on some benches, and he got a chance. What's amazing to me is that guys who played in the NBA, who have pedigree, who've been on benches for years, not getting these same opportunities.
Like Patrick Ewing?
Coach. Yeah, like Patrick Ewing. Yep. Guys like that, Mario Elie,
mm-hmm.
who won titles and was instrumental in helping the team win. Sam Cassell, who was great with John Wall and Bradley Beal in D.C. and helping them to become the backcourt that they are right now. These guys, I feel like, should have had a chance. But again, it's not to take anything away from Quinn Snyder. I guess, you know, he's good with being in Utah and eating cheese sandwiches and stuff. Yeah. So,
well, you know, nepotism is a beast. And he was friends with the general manager from their days back in San Antonio. And like a lot of these, we could say it on Ball Z Sport. A lot of these white hires, they go through nepotism. So like they slide it under the radar after, you know, the other bigger news has gone through. But. Whenever there's this signing where it's like, here's a dude that, kind of got this job because, you know, white people play golf. They always announce those joints on the low. And it was just like, Quinn Snyder, the Utah coach now. Okay. Not going to talk about who else we interviewed. If we interviewed anyone else.
So is that what's going to happen with Mark Price in Cleveland?
Yeah, I think so, man. I think it'll just slide through, man. Like, it's not going to be, it might be after the damn draft. Would they be like, oh, and Mark Price is the coach now?
Yep.
There you go.
The sad part is they could still have Jerry Sloan out there still handling things if it were not.
If it weren't for that light-skinned son of a bitch.
If it wasn't.
I knew you was going to say it. That dude is a coach killer, man.
I was going to say if it weren't for weak-minded ownership.
But,
my
bad.
But you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, bro. I'm sorry about that.
But you know, whatever. That works, too. Because I don't like that dude.
I don't like that dude.
He made light-skinned people look bad, man.
His game's so light-skinned, man.
His game's so dark-skinned.
It's so selfish. Guys, it is all from threes and finesse shit, man. Like, get your ass in the paint or pass the ball, man.
He play like Chris Paul, man. So dark skin.
Oh, go ahead. Chris Paul don't play dark skin, man.
Well, you're right. Chris Paul play extra crispy dark because he running around punching people in the private area.
That's not
at least Deron Williams doesn't do it.
That is not a dark skin trait, man.
That is, man. It's such an angry dark skin trait.
That's not dark.
Because if it was light skin, he'd have just tried to be his friend. You know what I'm saying?
He would have caressed the balls. I don't know. Flip Saunders. Said that Kevin Love don't have no right to be frustrated, man.
And he's right.
He said, just like I told Garnett, he didn't have the right to be frustrated. Now, I'm going to tell you like this, bro. Any man that told Kevin Garnett he don't got the right to be frustrated is nobody that can ever, ever, ever be frustrated around him.
There's a little chicane here because your man Flip Saunders didn't say that. Sam Mitchell, and Flip just co-signed on it because Sam Mitchell he ran that locker room in Minnesota.
Okay.
And he will tell you as a mentor to Kevin Garnett, hey, you come in telling everybody else they need the help. You're the one who makes the money. You're the one who does the commercials. You're the one that's on everything out here. You're the one outside the building. You need to do your job first.
Hmm.
And that's what matters. So Kevin Love, for all his complaining, like I said earlier, the whole thing with Ricky Rubio, once they're healthy, these guys are going to be the best thing that happens to sliced bread. They were healthy this year, And Kevin Love, he put up his numbers, but I could call Kevin Love like you called him Sharif Abdul-Rahim earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I can call him Elton Brand, mm-hmm. a guy who puts up good numbers on bad teams when he was in his prime.
Yep.
So, again, Kevin Love has to prove something first and foremost, and Flip Saunders did the right thing by putting him in his place with that. Because now these kids are entitled and believe that if I put up numbers, Brandon Jennings,
yep.
you saw the deal you got because you thought you were a max money guy in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. and then you got the end of the bargain or the bottom of the barrel bargain in Detroit, and they don't want you anymore. Where are you going to be next year? China with Steph Marbury? Who knows?
No disrespect to Steph.
Yeah, no disrespect. But you know, the other thing too is Flip said something that I thought was got undercut in the quote, but he said the team should be frustrated. You know, like the team as a unit should be frustrated with the fact they're not making the playoffs as a unit, not one dude. You know, I'm so good. Y'all niggas need to be, I'm frustrated with everyone but myself.
Right.
Because there's nothing possible that I should be at. I can't do anymore. It's you.
Well, while Flip may be right, that same tactic doing that just like Phil Jackson tried to do in New York. Say bye to
Kevin Love.
Kevin Love and see what y'all looking like next year without him.
I think Love stuck there for a couple more years though.
No, he's a free agent next year.
Okay. So all right.
He already said he's going to leave one way or the other by trade or free agency. So he's not going to step. Yeah. So you may as well trade him or do a sign and trade before you lose him for nothing next year.
Yeah.
Which is what he's trying to force right now.
Trade him for Dwayne Wade. And then they pick up, Paul Gasol in the offseason and they'll be back to the finals. California Chrome lost it to Belmont. and their owner lost a big time Disney movie type of story by coming out and dissing the other horses and trainers and saying that because they didn't enter their horses in all three races, they took the coward's way out and that his horse should have won, which if you think about what he's saying mathematically, that means his horse should only race the horses it's already beat.
In order to win again.
He went from a Disney store to a Lifetime movie.
He brought some shit up about some crippled kids and playing back. Like, it was bad, dog. It was one of the all-time, like, oh, no. Like, you just went from at least a ABC family movie of the week to like, get off my TV.
Now, he want the Special Olympics to compete? And right. Against the regular Olympian?
And he apologized eventually. Man. And he apologized to his wife twice. Because apparently she was like, why did you fuck up my money?
Hey, man. Right. That's why he was crying. Not because about the money. He was crying because he lost the money. Yeah. Not even the race.
Let me see if I can play this clip, man, because he was wilding hard.
For Steve Colburn and Perry Martin and all those with California Chrome. Throughout it all, Steve, it's been an amazing ride. What were your thoughts as they turned for home?
Well, I thought he was gaining ground, but he didn't have it in him, apparently. You know what? He's been in three. This is his third very big race. These other horses, they always set them out. They set them out and try to upset the apple cart. I'll never see. I'm 61 years old, and I'll never see in my lifetime, I'll never see another Triple Crown winner because of the way they do this. It's not fair to these horses that have been in the game since day one. I look at it this way. If you can't make enough points to get in the Kentucky Derby, you can't run in the other two races.
So if you had your way, you would say you got to run the Triple Crown or you cannot come up in the Belmont and be a fresh horse.
That's right. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Because this is not fair to these horses that have been running their guts out for these people and for the people that believe in them. Or have somebody to come up like, this is a coward's way out, in my opinion. This is a coward's way out.
So you think they came right after your horse and that was the plan, just like they have other potential Triple Crowns?
Exactly. Our horse had a target on his back. Everybody else lays out one, or they won't run in the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness. They'll wait until the Belmont. You know what? If you've got a horse, run him in all three. If you've got a horse that can, Carol, if you've got a horse
that earns points to run in the Kentucky Derby, those 20 horses that start in Kentucky are the only 20 eligible to run in all three races. This is the coward's way out.
Steve, I know it's a tough loss. We hope to see him down the road. All right, Tom. Obviously, well, strong.
Doc, his wife, I saw it, pulled on his coat from behind, like, come on, baby. And he knocked her off like Mario Chalmers in the elbow. That's why he apologized.
The only thing that was missing was, and those other horses are mediocre at best. You know what I'm saying? And then, because that was amazing that they allowed that reporter to follow it up with more questions to get the details.
By the way, that's a good reporter.
Right.
No doubt.
Because he got
the most out of it, and he found out that homeboy felt like these other horses took cuts in line, yo, and he wasn't happy.
Oh, my God. That was so good, dog. They took the coward's way out. By the way, nothing better than people talking about horses like they people.
Right. Their feelings.
Yeah, like they know and shit. Yeah, let down the horses, and they're very disappointed with you. Like, the horse don't know what race he finished in.
And ladies, I'm here for you. I haven't seen a woman jockey yet, so, you know, I'm here for y'all. That's a fear y'all need to break through.
Richard Sherman voted for, Coach Ron Rivera of the Carolina Panthers voted for Richard Sherman to be on the cover of Madden.
Smart.
Yep. I support this.
Smart. I was like, why is Cam even ready for this?
Is that a Carolina thing? Because I can't co-sign.
No, because the cover of Madden is a fucking death name.
Right.
Right. I'm saying, but the coach who did it?
Yeah. He's a Carolina coach.
And he has reasons.
Right.
So that's why I said I can't co-sign for that.
Oh, yeah. I co-signed him 100%.
Yeah, I co-signed it.
Cam is my man. I do not want that nigga to be on that cover.
Yeah.
Man, when I saw it was down to him and Richard Sherman, I said, no.
Yeah, what? I was like, why is he running? Why did he gracefully bow out? What is he doing?
Yeah, dog. Like, I know. Well, Cam think he can do anything.
And I had the ultimate line for him.
Yeah.
You know what? With them being the Super Bowl champs, it's only right they on the cover. Let them have it. I gracefully bow out. I don't want to be. That's easy out.
If I'm Cam Newton, I say, listen, I will only be on the cover of NFL 2K. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take to get that back, but let me know when the superior game is back on the market, because that's what I want to be on the cover of. Fuck Madden. That's what I would have. Man, Madden be getting people killed, man. Dude, and you know he got no wide receivers next year? Are you serious? He just had ankle surgery. Man.
What he running to for safety?
Yeah.
He can't run out of bounds.
Who's in the backfield for them?
Williams?
D'Angelo Williams and Stewart still?
I mean, who?
Right. Dude, I don't know why he wanted that. I'm sorry, Cam. You my man, but why the hell would you want that award?
Appreciate it, Coach.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. Because Richard Sherman did win. So it might have been one vote. Who knows? Dwayne Wade was fined for flopping in the NBA Finals for $5,000. So,
Not when he tried to take out Ginobili Leagues while he was in the L. So he tried to back up under him.
Hey, man. I don't understand people's obsession with flopping. Like, to me, it's not that egregious. Like, I just be like, oh, that's funny. It'd be leading SportsCenter the next day, man. Like, it mattered to people. I never knew it mattered that much, man. Like, I guess it matters if you hate a dude, it matters more. But for me, I don't care.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, they say that shit about LeBron, and LeBron be getting his ass whooped, too. Like, they'll be like, he flopped that one time. Like, yeah, but them other seven times he went to the line.
Yeah, because he flopped when Muhammad pushed him down that time, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that, man. Yeah, but I don't know, man. He got fined $5,000.
The referees should be getting fined, not the players.
Mm.
Referees who call the flop, and you can go back and look at replay.
Yeah.
And that's the only way the NBA fines the players is when they go back to replay and look at it.
Mm.
So I'm like, how did this ref let that get by if he's not supposed to allow flopping? Mm. He should get fined too, or at least split the fine.
On the low, they might be getting fined, and they might not publicize that. Because I would.
Well, they should, because that would help us to better understand why the rule exists in the first place and how it's going to help the game. Because guys still flop, and what's defined as a flop? Dwayne Wade didn't fall down. He just moved his head.
Yeah.
Now, if he got hit in the eye, I get that. But he got hit in the eye by clearly this Stanislavski of flopping in the NBA today. He learned from the great Vlade Divac. It's Manu Ginobili.
This was flop.
Manu Ginobili turned the ball over in game four. The ball went off his knee. He fell back like he got shot.
Yes.
To try and draw the foul. I'm like, Lord.
See, to me,
they didn't call anything.
To me, this was flop on flop balance. So I didn't have, we didn't have no dog in the fight. Like, if two floppers collide in a forest, did they really collide at all? Like, so I don't know. My thing for this though, in general is, I don't care that much about it, and I don't think you can get it out of the game. I just don't think it's possible. Like, unless you are able to, like, replay every foul or something, which, or you have the replay official that comes in later, if like 5 minutes later is like, that foul on Ginobili, take it back, and a free throw or something. Like,
it should be 7 hours long.
Yeah, it seems like it would just, like, it's just gonna be part of the game, man. Like, and then I'm scared that if you find refs for calling flop files, they gonna start letting, they gonna let dudes get slapped upside the face and be like, man, hey dog, I can't lose the 5G's this month. I got bills to pay and like my kid is in private school, so I'm sorry about your eye. You know what I mean? sorry about that, bro. Donald Sterling released a statement on why he's now suing the NBA. Cause people forgot that he's rich.
Can you find the players and coach?
What you mean, for like, flopping?
Yeah. So, like, say if Dwayne Wade flopped and LeBron got a flop in the same game, that's five from each player, but then there's also 10 from the coach.
I don't want to be an asshole.
The coach can't go out and say, yo, on this play, you need to flop.
But when they clearly have guys like Wrinklehead from Duke on this team who knows he's going to flop majority of the time. Then you could address it. You know what I mean?
First of all, he got those wrinkles taken care of.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Remember he went got that Botox or something.
I forgot about
but,
that.
But second of all, man, I'm just not that obsessed with it, man. I guess.
Yeah.
I've just never been that mad. I remember when I was a kid and being like, Michael Jordan's getting fucked up. And then once in a while, Mike would just get a bullshit phantom call. Like, I know they ain't touch his arm, but whatever. Like, it's Mike.
It balances it out, right?
Yeah. Like the same thing with LeBron. Like, people only concentrate on the flop plays or the fouls where he really didn't get touched that much. But it works itself out. He's going to also get called for some bullshit every once in a while. He's also going to have some no calls where, I mean, the nigga dunked on somebody and got one of his arms slapped in the first quarter of that other game. And it was no call. You know, like, it happens, man. Just be aggressive. Stop.
Right.
Can't worry about the refs all goddamn day, man. Why am I fighting the NBA, says Donald Sterling. The NBA wants to take our privacy rights and freedom of speech.
He's a freedom fighter, yo.
Yeah, he fighting on the
all about equality.
The side of the disenfranchised. I was brought up in America and educated to believe that every citizen. Oh, wait, I should be reading this in my Donald Sterling voice, huh? I was brought up in America and educated to believe that every citizen has a right to privacy and a right to freedom of speech.
You want some juice, baby?
As a lawyer and a citizen, I am shocked. You want but some not juice? Surprised. Okay.
You want some juice, honey?
Okay.
Wait.
Honey, you want some juice?
I thought Avery Johnson took over for a second.
Now, he would have been like, the NBA wants to take away those fundamental rights.
I played summer league one year with Avery when he was in Houston. He was going back to play in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And he brought his daughter into the gym. And he's like, hey, fellas, I need you guys to be aware that my little girl is going to be in here today. So if you can refrain from the cursing and such. He'd be running the point. He's like pointing at me. He said, Will, get on the wing.
I can do my Avery Johnson impression, but people in the camera, in the chat room, I'm going to need this because he really be having a greasy ass lips, man.
Hey, you know, that's one reason he can't keep a job. Like Will explains to me now why he's not able to keep a job as a coach.
Dude, why is his lips so greasy, man? It's like he eat a liver mush sandwich before every time he'd be on TV.
He eating grease.
All right, so I feel that every American has to protect those rights, that the NBA should not be allowed to take away those rights. I've apologized for my mistakes.
Did he put in parentheses except the ones that smell?
Right.
Or have a certain body odor?
My apology is sincere. You can tell because he's telling you. I want every American. He should be like, I went to a black church. Damn. Has Magic Johnson ever gone to black church?
Right.
I want every American to know that I will not give up fighting for those rights. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Don.
I appreciate him fighting on behalf of us.
If he was running for office, Don Sterling would have like George Zimmerman as his running mate or some shit like that. Yes. I can see it, yo.
He would. And
all these kinds of speeches.
I also feel that the leadership of the NBA is incompetent, inexperienced, and angry. Read Adam Silver. It is clear that they took this opportunity to settle their personal grievances they have harbored against me for years. The NBA has a history. Why do they have these grievances, though, Don? You want to talk, about it? What they mad about?
They didn't want to talk about that.
I already apologized for that. Why y'all bringing up old shit? The NBA has a history of discriminatory practices, which is supported by numerous lawsuits filed by NBA employees claiming gender-based discrimination. Because, you know, Don is all about the women's and the women's rights.
He's never had any lawsuits about unfair practices for the Clippers.
No, not at all.
Yeah. He's like, why y'all talking about race when we still haven't got over gender in America?
Yeah.
I'm concentrating on gender right now. And Adam Silver has worked in the NBA since 1992. He must know about the discriminatory practices of the NBA, which are all matters of public record. So how you gonna bring up Isaiah Thomas' case against him, though? Come on now.
Mm.
The reason Adam Silver is focused on the sale instead of a larger social issue is because doing so will require him to examine the NBA's own discriminatory practices, including those that occurred under his many years in leadership. If the NBA is sincere about their approach, Adam Silver needs to publicly examine the NBA's own conduct and conduct of each and every owner. For now, it seems Adam Silver is content with focusing his energy on violating my rights, attempting to take my property and sign autographs for TMZ. What?
What?
When did Adam Silver start signing autographs for TMZ? Why am I asking this?
That's
one?
When.
Why am I taking his word for it? What am I doing?
Right.
Yeah. Just like Rashawn McCants. He made it personal.
Yeah.
And you got to question the source.
Maybe once the dust settles, he will have some time to focus on the NBA's own transgressions. The NBA can the dust will settle when they sell your shit, dog.
The transgressions like allowing you to stay an owner in the NBA for 30 plus years, knowing full well who you were as a person. That's a big one.
Yeah, he trying to act like he not the cause of some of these transgressions.
The majority of the transgressions.
Yeah. Well, in his years of leadership, he overlooked many things. For instance,
many things
me.
I did.
Right.
For instance, all my shit.
Can Adam Silver just apologize or say he apologized and then you have
statement.
To drop the lawsuit but sell the team?
The NBA continues to thrive and exact its reign of terror in large part from the money it receives from the fans. The NBA is a band of hypocrites and bullies. They will not stop until someone stands up. They have taken the liberty to desecrate my privacy rights and my right to own property. I have no doubt that they will continue to find new ways to violate my rights and the rights of any other person in order to draw attention away from their own discriminatory, repulsive conduct. We have to fight for the rights of all Americans. We have to fight these despicable monsters. This is the reason I will not sell my team in cap slot. Donald T. Sterling, the God.
Hey, man. Somebody else wrote this.
Yeah, I added the God.
Somebody else wrote that clearly. Why did he go back and edit and insert his own voice into it?
Yeah. I'm surprised there's nothing about magic in there.
Someone
else actually edited this, dog. Because, you know, they took out all the racism. You know, in a league where we give these players all the stuff that we own. Right. We give them a place to play their games. Listen, a player is like a racehorse, okay? They don't really have feelings.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, why did he allow the personal stuff with Adam Silver? Like,
dog, I don't know. He's
the stupid part is the guy who enabled him to be in the league for 30 plus years is one of his best friends, David Stern, who his right hand man was Adam Silver. So
yep.
I don't know if they had a spat between the three of them. That David Stern is staying out of,
mm-hmm.
but your man made it mad personal with Adam Silver. Mm-hmm. Adam Silver has come out and put his stamp on what he thinks is his first, well, it is his first big official move as commish. And people thought that because he did this, racism ended in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
What? You know what's really funny is, for all we know, Adam Silver might have never liked this dude.
And that's the thing.
Like, everyone assumes that he was cool with it, but we know how David Stern runs his ship.
He wouldn't He's have a boss. That's it.
Yeah, he would not have allowed you to have an opinion about this shit, and definitely not a public opinion. I don't assume that Adam Silver was quote unquote in on it, although I assume he was obviously aware of it. I think Stern more than anybody is the guy that people should be talking about when it comes to, you know, this fake ass, he ruled with an iron fist, image. When you allow this racist dude to be part of the ownership group, you never say a word. You never try to oust him for actual real racism, not because of this phone call shit. Like, how iron is your fist, dog? Or are you just okay with it? Like, maybe it's one of the two, though.
I'm going to ask you, Katz, a question, just a simple question about this whole situation. Mm-hmm. Would Donald Sterling still own the Los Angeles Clippers if we never heard this audio tape?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So would Adam Silver have acted regardless to whether he heard this or not?
Mm-hmm.
After the fact. So,
I think to me personally, I'll flip the question this way. Would David Stern have kicked Donald Sterling out?
He didn't do it for 30 years. Why would he do it now?
Exactly. To me, it's more of a, Adam Silver probably had he needed a reason. This is not the most solid reason.
But here's the thing.
He needed a reason. Cause to me, it's like in hindsight, everyone's acting like, well, he had to do something. Stern would have ignored this shit and been like, I dare one of you players not to show up at a game and tried to play it the hard way. And Adam was like, nah, it's reasonable. This dude racist and we don't need him in the league.
Yeah. I was going to say the thing, you know, people always joke Stern know where the body's at and things like that.
Yeah.
Adam Silver know where the body's at too. And he's tired of bearing bodies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he can move them. He can move the bodies. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And that's the other reason Stern can't get involved. He's not going to, because I'm sure people are trying to get something out of Stern.
Stern lucky Silver didn't come out and be like, I was tired of it when Stern was doing the shit and covering up for it. And it's not going to happen on my watch. He could have easily did that.
Yep.
And we would have been like, oh, shit.
No, you'd have been like, if he had stepped to that mic.
Mm-hmm.
And said, I was your lover and your secretary, working every day of the week.
Dog, he might have been tired of it, man. But
you know what I'm saying?
It did, man. I remember listening to that press conference, though. It did sound like he was mad for real.
Came out strong.
Dude, because the first one sounded like, I ain't gonna get mad. Everybody need to calm down. We don't even know if it's real, but if it's real,
man, Silver got.
I will talk to y'all Tuesday.
Silver got black people in this family, man.
He Jewish, dog. He was like, man, this shit make Jewish people look bad. Like he had some words, dog. Like I could feel all the subtext of like it would have been like if Tyler Perry fucked up and then I had to give a speech about getting rid of Tyler Perry. It's like all sorts of shit gonna come out. It's like, yeah, man, you know what? And I don't like how Tyler be making these movies because it make my mama go to these movies. You know what I mean?
My mama's spending money on this food.
Right. It got personal, man.
Man, his first cousin or somebody.
Yeah.
His maybe his side chick black. I don't know.
Yeah. We might.
You know what?
Dog, he might have
the flimsiness of the whole reason how Adam Silver acted is the only reason that Donald Sterling is trying to fight it right now. Because he knows that if no one had heard him speak like this, if this wasn't public record now, he still owned this team.
Yep.
They wouldn't be saying things about his mental capacity, that he wouldn't have his wife in probate court trying to sell the team because she's like, I need to cash out. He's about to be dead the minute I need this money.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And the taxes he's going to pay on that, you're going to pay $667 million on the taxes alone of the $2 million or $2 billion sale. So you walk away with $1.37 billion. You're still cashing out pretty good. And if you sue the NBA for an amount that you know you will never get, one, and how much money would you spend in trying to go to exhaustion with the NBA? Because they're going to pull the money together to fight you. And it's just a waste of time for Donald Sterling. I don't know why he keeps hiring investigators. He's making himself look worse. And then he had the nerve to get out of a limo the other day with two black chicks.
Yeah, that's his move, dog.
His penis is not racist.
Yeah, he might be racist, but his dick is not.
That thing don't even work, yo.
He's not Anthony Quinn. He's not doing anything at that 81.
I don't know, dog. Niggas is rich. Who knows what he on?
Just like it rubbed or something. Something will.
He got something. Yeah, he got. He might have, like, you know how Magic been alive because he rich. Like, maybe he got something that
he might just be laying heavy, dog. He just like Justin said, he just might be rubbing on it. I don't know.
Like, I just want to see it touch it. I don't care.
You know the other thing, man, him hiring these investigators to find dirt on his partners. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the people in his colleagues. Dog, now, man, he like, had friends and he turned them into enemies.
This your boy Mark Cuban? This your homie.
Yeah, this the dude Mark Cuban was, you know, borderline exposing his racism and biases
for him.
you know, trying to stick up for him, and now Mark Cuban skeleton is about to come out the closet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they gotta have that vote, and he gonna have to go.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, already know he gotta shut him up.
He gotta go, man. One of the medications he gonna take is gonna have an adverse effect with something else, and the lawyer gonna be trying to pursue the lawsuit even though Sterling not around any longer. You know what I mean?
I can't find no pictures of Adam Silver wife either, so who knows, dog? Now it's all pictures of Shelly Sterling because of the controversy. Chael's Sonnen failed drug test, but don't worry, everybody, it's perfectly legal substances.
Mm-hmm. Marijuana?
Well, no.
Cough syrup.
Methamphetamine?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that?
Hormone?
Well, you said he had to take drugs because they banned testosterone. Because he needed testosterone replacement therapy, which is a telltale sign. I talked to my man Morgan Campbell.
Him too.
And Morgan P. Campbell. And what a P stands for.
Player?
Yeah, for pimping. And he said, apparently, people take testosterone to cover up for the fact that they could be on like other shit. So then they put the testosterone back in their body because the other shit they have, like whether it's steroids or whatever, takes it out. His exact quotes are, "I love when journalists take these cats at their word. Was Sonnen having trouble ovulating? Why take a women's fertility drug? All those drugs are legal with a prescription. That's why you need a prescription. People think they're dumb, and I guess a lot of us are if we believe that the one occupation that requires a ton of testosterone is also the occupation that has a huge concentration of men whose body produce no testosterone. If these guys actually have no testosterone, it's more because they've been taking steroids. More likely they have testosterone, but they just want to take steroids. So yeah, gotta do the knowledge, huh? So Chael Sonnen line. Anyway,
I don't know why this clown who hasn't won anything gets so much burn, though.
Because he know how to talk, man.
he's like the Rock on the mic in WWE. As long as you can rock the mic, you're going to be all right.
You know how to talk some shit. People will find out what you got to say, man. Drew Rosenhaus is in court because he went to an NFLPA appointed arbitrator, and it ruled that Deshaun Jackson owed him for more than $500,000 in unpaid loans.
Damn it, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Drew broke into his house.
Drew broke into his house?
That was the one when they had a home invasion while he was in Hawaii or something.
It was Drew?
It was Drew Rosenhaus, dog.
Son, damn what? It, man.
He out here pulling OJ moves?
Drew
out here. His goons ran up in the house, yo, because I think, was Deshaun Jackson saying he was going to, Hawaii for the Pro Bowl or going back to LA or something. Mm-hmm. When you start to put your business out like that on Facebook, on Instagram. Like, dog, I'm at the airport getting ready to leave the crib. Like, dog. Drew was like, okay.
Yeah.
Then get my goons together. You're going to climb through his house, steal all this stuff, steal his rings, whatever. Mm. Not Super Bowl ring, but, you know, he's still his stuff. Because he owes me. That's collateral, dog.
Well, here's the problem with that is it's illegal for an agent to bribe a player to be his client. So apparently he said the money, it was all illegally given to him in a payout that included a $50,000 Louis Vuitton handbag handed over at a gas station at midnight. Hold on. They was doing deals at midnight at a gas station. This some
classy.
Yeah, this some seedy shit, dog. Dang. Rosenhaus gave Jackson a down payment of $50,000 cash around midnight at a gas station parking lot in a Louis Vuitton travel bag. He also gave Jackson a $90,000 check and a $200,000 interest-free loan. We went over the contract on the car on the side of the road, Rosenhaus said in the arbitration hearing in September 2013. I waited until I saw it on my phone that it was after midnight. We proceeded to execute the contract. After executing the contract, I then gave Deshaun the money that we agreed to give him. I gave it to him in the Louis Vuitton bag. So
at least he gave it to him in a Louis bag. Don King would have put that shit in a trash bag, met you in the bathroom like he did George Foreman back in the day.
And it would have been a little short. I didn't think he was gonna count it. So Jackson's court filings indicate a second payment in 2011. And then after the holdout from Eagles camp didn't result in a new deal, he did rack up $300,000 in fines. Jackson indicated his plan to fire Rosenhaus, blaming him for the holdout according to Yahoo Sports. Jackson claims that Rosenhaus then paid him and his family $143,088 to remain a client. Don't forget the $88.
Man. I know, right?
But $300,000 in fines?
Numbers, yo.
Yeah.
$300,000 in fines.
Yeah, for holding out.
Damn it, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, the holdout is over, by the way. It's more expensive now than it was then. So you won't see this shit again where people hold out of camp unless they're going to retire or quit. But yeah, man, he's suing. Welcome to the Redskins. He's suing his own agent. So there you go. Julius Randle might have to get surgery on his foot. That's right. Potential NBA draft pick, Julius Randle. A lot of people are saying
he got to go back
saying,
to school.
He's
man.
Saying it's not real.
Okay, so he's saying it's fake. He won't have to get surgery.
Right.
Of course, he needs to say that till after he
and so after
working.
They draft him, no doubt.
No, not after they draft him until he signed that contract. he got to do like Shaq, man, and wait till the season starts and start getting these surgeries.
Hey, man, I just say welcome to the Bobcats, man. I hope this brother drops like a rock in that draft, and I hope it's true. No offense, Julius. You know, I want the best for you in life, but I hope this shit is true. Your foot broke and everybody be like, I don't know if we need him or he makes somebody else drop. I take Marcus Smart too. I would love for him to drop down to 9. So all that would be good to me. So if he's hurt for real, welcome to the Bobcats. If not, you know, enjoy your career in Cleveland. I'm telling you this, nicer than Cleveland. I'm just
the women are a lot friendlier here too.
Yeah, women more thicker.
We're not burning jerseys.
I don't know how we don't get more free agents. Our city is like 60% black.
Did they not see how Derek Coleman was enjoying himself when he played here?
Dog. You see these women? Go ahead.
Y'all got those rocking chairs in the airport too.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
And have y'all seen some of these women that our players be with? And they don't be in the news.
Bro, have you not seen Alonzo Mourning's wife that he met here?
Right. LJ's wife? He met her in a damn a CD store or some shit. Yeah. He was like, let me go buy a tape. God damn.
And for anybody that's familiar with Charlotte, I'm Wilkerson.
Yeah. Good grief, man. I don't know what these brothers out they mind going to Cleveland over here.
Again, prime example. Derek Coleman had too much fun while he was here.
Right.
He had to leave because he was having too much fun.
Dog, what? And rest in peace to Bobby Fields, but him and David Wesley was racing. They was racing home every day, man. They was having fun in our good weather and shit, man.
No doubt. I played against David Wesley in college.
Oh, for real? I played against him a lot.
We played in the same conference. We played in the Southwest Conference.
Yeah, I played against
Baylor.
I played against him a lot at the Y, man, when he was on the Hornets. So, pretty, standoffish dude, but if you get to know him, pretty fun. You know what I mean?
No
like,
doubt.
Like he didn't like people being on his dick, so I wasn't trying to be, but, you know, it's like you have enough fun. You play ball with him, man, get some respect. He come talk to you, man. He's a cool dude. His brother, knucklehead though. Watch your back.
No disrespect.
Yeah. His brother knocked this white dude out one day, man. White dude tried him though. Like he got mad about a call. So, Desmond called some, a little weak ass foul. And, I guess he didn't realize Desmond ain't the one. Cause, he threw that ball at him and it was funny cause he didn't hit him hard. But as everybody knows has ever had a basketball thrown at him, it's the disrespect.
Right.
You know what I mean? It ain't the impact. It's the fact that you thought you could throw this damn ball at me in a disrespectful manner is going to lead to this ass whooping. So, the dude threw the ball at him and Desmond turned around and squared up on him. And the dude's homie ran over to be like, no, stop. Don't fight. And that's who got knocked out.
He got Rudy T'd.
Yep.
Right into it.
Caught that Tom Jonovich, dog. It was good. I was like, it was funny because I was sitting down and I was like, and that's why I don't break up fights. Meta World Peace will be joining a high school staff.
He enjoying life, man.
It's funny that he's going to join a high school staff when he couldn't wake up in time to be at his child's hearing for him to go to high school and be in a private school. So I find that ironic.
Yep. He's going to be the girls' basketball coach, assistant coach.
I love Metal World Peace, man. He out here enjoying life. Yeah. Ever since he got that ring, he found in a piece. And he has been enjoying life ever since.
Yeah. I like Metal World Peace, but that's just a funny story. He's going to be assistant coach of girls' basketball. He's going to be having girls undercutting and shit. Hit it in the face. That's a weak spot, the face.
The post-game interviews, you know, when Son starts to articulate and everything on camera,
give a shout out to Queens and then his therapist.
Is this school in New York? Is it in New York where he's going to be coaching?
I just closed the article.
Oh, don't worry about it then. It's not that big a deal. I was just wondering, like, would he be people that relates to him or would he be in an environment where he's, you know, maybe he's going to have to actually, he can't wear sweats and things like that. You know,
it's in LA and it's in Palace. It's called Palisade High School.
Oh, okay.
Palisades. So yeah, assistant coach. Now, hopefully this means one day, if we're lucky, he plays his cards right. We'll be talking about NBA head coach, Meta World Peace.
And I would love
or date doctor to help Kobe find his next high school wife.
Oh, slander.
Why,
sir?
Why would you disrespect Kobe like that, though, Will?
Yeah, way too soon. Kobe don't date him in high school no more.
He not, because he's not Dwight Howard.
Yeah, he not flying these little girls out.
Kobe was in high school when he was out here taking Brandy to the prom.
Yeah, Kobe broke Brandy heart when he was in high school. Like,
right.
LeBron James made $30 million for Apple purchase of Beats. So, another reason he can afford to stay in Miami.
Quick question, though. Does that come out of Dre's $2 billion, or is that separate?
I don't think it comes out of Dre's money. I think I think that's the reason that Dre, when he put that shit about, I'm a billionaire, and everybody's like, no, you're not. Because it's not like all the $3 billion went to Dre. $3 billion is what they bought Beats for. Dre has a controlling interest in it, but he doesn't have you know, enough to be a billionaire, you know, after taxes and everything.
Oh, so that came out of his then. Okay.
Yeah. LeBron just like, let me know.
If LeBron had made that 50 cent deal like he made with vitamin water, he might have a little bit more than that.
Yeah, he might be talking about buying him a team one day.
No doubt.
What kind of deal did he do with the vitamin water?
He put in 10%. He had 10%, and I think Pepsi or somebody bought it for like $4 billion. So he made $400 million off that one deal.
Yes. Nice. Not to mention, you know, if Brian could put in on that on this and get a billion dollars out of this, maybe he could get him a team. Although $1 billion might not be able to get you anything after a while.
Yep.
price of the brick went up when $2 billion for that Clippers.
But shouts out to LeBron's team, his homeboys that he put on to be like, man, you need to get on this deal with Dr. Dre.
Yo,
no doubt.
LeBron's such a good ass teammate, man. He be hooking them squirrels up with money and shit.
Like, shouts out to that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm a good person.
But his boys don't do him like Hammer's boys did him.
That's true.
Like, Hammer used to employ everybody. I'm talking about dudes that just got out of prison that couldn't count. He used to put them on. And all they did was try to rob him. Yeah. Like, at least his boys have some sense. He puts them in school. They go to business school. They learn about how to make deals. They learn marketing. They learn all this stuff, PR, so you can keep it all in the house. So you have to respect that about LeBron.
I changed my answer. LeBron, come to Charlotte, man.
Yo,
come to the Hornets, man.
By the way, my man, Marshawn Lynch, said he might retire at 28 years old.
I can see that.
Yeah.
And be like sitting there and watching like Cheaters and Cops with a bag of Skittles and some weed all day.
He don't seem to like the spotlight like that anyway. And
that's because he's about that action, boss.
And word on the street is that he actually saved his money. So
that's smart.
He don't need it. And it might be a situation like, what was my man named? Robert Smith. Where everybody got mad because he turned out to be too smart to get hit in the knees for the rest of his life.
Yep.
That dude had an exit strategy and stuck to it. People was mad as shit. So I'm about to go back to school and be a doctor. Why? Don't you want to get on TV getting hurt? He's like, well, as a doctor, I learned.
For my pleasure?
Right. As a doctor, I learned about this thing called concussions. And, trust me on this. They not good.
What you know about concussions, boy? You're just a football player.
Yeah.
Hey, good for him, man. If he's living in Seattle, he'll still live out his life as a star. You know what I mean?
Yeah, beast mode, man.
Like, he helped bring them a championship. Like, he'll live out his life as a star.
That was the contingent thing. Everything was contingent on if they won that Super Bowl, and they did. Okay, someone wrote about. Okay, we talked about that already. we didn't talk about this. This is not a sports story, so I refuse to talk about that.
You can talk about
That's
it.
That's for the regular show, man.
It's our show. You can talk about what you want.
It's for the regular show. I got to save something for next week. But there was a woman that got buried. They had a funeral, and they put a menthol in her hand.
Let's just put the picture in the chat.
That's ridiculous.
I already closed it.
Man, just put the picture in the chat, man.
But we got baseball news. There's somebody in baseball. We don't watch baseball, but apparently in the bottom of the eighth inning, Braves catcher Gerald Laird took one of Corey Dickerson's foul balls to the mouth. He stumbled but stayed in the game. Two pitches later, Dickerson's backswing hit Laird in the head. So he fell face first into the dirt and left the game. He got replaced by Evan Gattis. But Laird later passed a concussion test, and he was going to be okay. On the next pitch, Braves were leaving. Because remember, the Braves don't play that shit. They the keepers of the old school, whatever that means. The Braves reliever David Carpenter tagged Dickerson in the thigh with a fastball. It looked pretty intentional, though Carpenter denied it, as did manager Freddie Gonzalez. But what was it for? Did anyone truly believe that Dickerson intentionally hit Laird in any of the other instances? Carpenter was tossed. The Rockies manager, Walt Weiss, was also ejected, but generally livid. Weiss yelled, "We owe you two," according to the Braves third baseman, Chris Johnson. Colorado only got one. With two outs in the top of the ninth, Rockies pitcher Nick Massett plunk Gattis on the first pitch of his of his plate appearance. Massett was quickly thrown out, along with Colorado's bench coach Tom Runnels. So two players got beaned, four people got ejected, and it was all because somebody unintentionally hit somebody with the follow through of the bat. So
you know what I have an issue with.
Mm-hmm.
Is how America gets all up in arms because Ron Artest and Steven Jackson ran into the crowd because fans overstepped their bounds and started a fight. I get the fact that they shouldn't go out in the stands. I get that. But they disrespected, like me, coming to your job and just punching you in the face. Mm-hmm. You have the right to hit me back if you can, right? But even the fight on the court. Let's take, forget about the Madison Palace. Mm-hmm. A fight on the NBA court is seen as like this heinous. It's going to start all kinds of crime. Black crime is going to go up the neighborhoods because kids watch basketball. But hockey and baseball and stuff like that, these things are inherent parts of the game and somehow make the game better or have always been a part of the game. And that's why we shouldn't eliminate those. Nobody's up in arms about this kind of stuff. I've always wondered about that. But again,
yeah,
I kind of understand it.
Well, you know, race.
Yeah.
Man, can't have these black people hitting people.
Yeah, they we're not able to self-regulate during the game. You know what I mean?
Right.
We
don't know how to shut it off. We get to hitting people. We kill everybody. We can't help ourselves.
We start hand clapping and other stuff like that.
Black rage. We can't even celebrate a touchdown. We never know where that's going to end up.
It's the same reason why when the horse owner was able to rant and mm-hmm. talk about everybody and their mama.
And they didn't cut away like they did.
They didn't cut away, but Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Right.
We got to get him off the screen immediately.
His dreads and his teeth were flashing and looking like he was gnashing it and gnarling and stuff. So it was too violent for you to see. It's kind of like Black Love on TV. You don't get to see that.
Yep. Speaking of self-control and black people, there will be no charges for Kaepernick and two other NFL players in the Miami alleged sexual assault. So he said he didn't do it. TMZ said they had sources that said he did. Police looked into it. Nothing's gonna happen. He's good.
Man, how easy is it to become an official cop in Florida? Like, they always hiring. Like, anybody can get a job.
For the cops?
Yeah, for the police departments down there, man. Because their conviction rate seems to be
quite low.
Minimal.
At least they didn't try to get this one in court. And hopefully he didn't do it, and that's the reason he's going home, you know?
Yeah.
The story was sketchy, and it seemed like he called the police to help her. Like, when a rapist going to call the police, dog? Like, that don't even make sense. Unless that's the best cover-up of all time.
Right.
Like, what I do... Like, and Darren Sharp was sitting somewhere like, damn, why didn't I think of that?
Well, because we just went over a call here in Charlotte about somebody who decided I might need to call the police first.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
I'm not sure he was the first to call on that. Because we had them other three calls that sound like other people made it to the phone before him.
But he, in theory, he attempted to be the first one to call.
He did try.
You know what I mean? But I do agree. I hope that the right outcome is the outcome that happened.
All jokes aside, I hope he didn't do it, and I hope that justice was served and they looked into it and everything's fine, because you know that's the worst thing right now, man. You really don't, I mean, at least for me, I don't want to be rooting for motherfuckers that's going out here sexually assaulting people. So you know, my just and the thing is someone's word against theirs, so you really have no proof of anything one way or the other.
Well, he used the Ben Roethlisberger defense, you know? She only resisted but so much.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's the thing. I said it about Jameis, too. I hope, and it seems like Jameis didn't do nothing illegal, but if it happens again, you know what I mean? Like, coincidentally, you getting hung up, you know, 2-3 times.
Where there's smoke.
You're right. That's how I came with Big Ben. First time I heard it, I said, it could be. Who knows, man? By the time you get to 4, it's like, hey, man, I don't know what to tell you. This just, you doing sex wrong. Something wrong. People are giving you some complaints afterwards, and it's not good. Hamburg police say they're investigating an accident from last Friday involving a car driven by Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Marcel Darius. Meanwhile, the team is sending the Pro Bowler home for now to get his life in order. That's bad.
So he don't just get to go to rehab?
He can't go to Riley Cooper rehab?
For a week.
He gotta go home?
He can't go to Jim Irsay's rehab?
How fucked up you gotta be where they just be like, son, we just need you to go home, get your shit together.
Right.
Take a week. Take a knee, son. Police say they received a call about two vehicles allegedly racing on Route 179 near McKinley Parkway. Just before officers arrived on the scene, a white Jaguar crashed near the Mongolian Buffet restaurant, striking a tree and causing extensive damage to the vehicle.
Man, the sniffer. No,
you trying to get that lunch buffet, though.
It's about time to close.
That's why they changed the price. You got to get in, though.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Dinner prices is different. Witnesses told police they saw two vehicles, a white Jaguar and a black Camaro, speeding down Route 179 before the Jaguar crashed. Police say the Jaguar was driven by Darius, 24, charged with reckless endangerment, reckless driving, and participating in an illegal speed contest. He was arraigned in court on Monday. He's due back in court June 17th, which is coming up in a couple of days here.
Juneteenth.
Yep. Darius is taking the next 2 weeks off from voluntary practices as he faces criminal charges for the second time in a month.
I wonder if that affect his bonus not being able to attend all of the voluntary practices.
Absolutely. I mean, probably. That's why he told him to go sit at home.
We're not paying you for the shit. Go on. Coach Doug Marone said after practice Tuesday that he and Darius had a lengthy discussion, Reed cussing out, and agreed the players should take a break from football. The accident agreed. Okay. Yeah, I talked to him and we agreed that he need to sit his ass down. The accident occurred about a month after Darius was arrested in his native Alabama, charged with possession of synthetic marijuana and drug paraphernalia. Marone was disappointed in Darius for making what he called some poor decisions.
All right, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. And this is not a disrespect to smaller towns and America. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that, you know, even if you go to Mobile, if you go to Montgomery, if you go to Birmingham, they're not like Atlanta or even Charlotte. Or New York or Toronto. But if you know you're an NFL player from that place, you're not going to be riding around in a Honda Civic. You're not going to be riding around in a Hoopty. So if you're riding around in a Benz, mm-hmm. with tinted windows, you don't think they're following you or checking you out regardless? Like, you're not the guy that runs the bank in the town of Hoover, Alabama.
Right.
You're the black guy who made to the NFL that they thought was going to go to jail if he didn't play football or go to the army. Mm-hmm. And now you have this Benz. If you turn the corner the wrong way, they're pulling you over. And whatever they find inside the car, hey, well, you know, that's a bonus.
Yep. And if the cops if the cops aren't around, your neighbors are calling.
Right. So why are you riding around dirty?
Yeah.
That's stupid. Stay at home and smoke if you want to do that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's that whole mentality. I'm above the law.
He was like Buns and Belly.
Yeah, like fuck them faggot ass cops. I'm out here speeding. I'm smoking, drinking. But the thing is, Will, it's that thing where I'm a star, and I feel like people love me, so I can do what I want. Like, they love me. They're not gonna, like, I can get out of this because I'm an NFL player. They're not gonna do nothing to me.
You're not too far gone to understand the rules here. We're gonna let you know.
Right.
And have you not been reading the NFL police blotter? It comes out every day.
But see, in those small towns, they feel like I'm at home. I'm at home. Like, they love me here. It's not going to happen. And until they get pulled over and they have incidences like this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. They love you just because you have a Benz now, or did they love you before you left? That's the difference, because that's not love if they had to wait until you made the NFL to start loving you.
Right.
Yeah, that's some whole other type of synthetic love.
It's like that synthetic weed he had.
No doubt.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's finding out now, oh shit, I shouldn't have been doing this. But who's to say he's going to stop doing it? He might be like, charges reduced, X, Y, and Z happened. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, I didn't face the full penalty behind it.
I mean, nobody can make somebody stop doing some dumb shit, but I mean, sending him home for a couple of weeks and letting him know how serious it was, and that football could be taken away from him. I mean, that's about the most you can do without cutting him from the team or some shit. So,
I mean, incognito.
You know, they can cut you for no reason in the NFL.
Exactly.
But look at incognito. We like to think people would think that way, but.
Incognito was never warned.
No, I mean, but once they sent him home from the team, he still was on Twitter and damaging his car and doing other things that
Here's the thing, Justin, what you just said. We like to think they think like that. You have to assume, or you're assuming that they think.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is, what team is he on right now?
Right. But he didn't learn. And what's the other dude that started tweeting out about Michael Sims?
Oh, the dude
from Miami.
Yeah, the dude from Miami. Was it Marcus Pouncey or?
Yeah, like that dude. Like, come on, son. Like, you not learning. You just saw your homeboy. What happened to him?
Hey, irony alert. Best shit ever. Jonathan Martin tweeting about LeBron cramping up in that fourth quarter. That was one of the best moments ever. I was like, I can't. What? Who? What is this? Have you been hacked?
Are you serious?
Yeah. You talking about some not tough enough?
I mean, he is known to throw shade, though.
Yeah. Oh, nah.
This dude is soft as a sign language whisperer, and he's talking about somebody else.
I was withholding a lot of judgment on that brother, and he hit send on that tweet. I said, oh, we're done. We are done here. You never have to worry about me defending him again, bro. But, Marcel Darius got sent home for a couple weeks. The thing is, neither one of the violations sounds that serious. So,
well, I mean, like, if you recklessly endanger somebody, we don't know how fast he was going, who he could have hit, who he could have killed. So,
I mean, I can say that right now because
nobody was hurt.
I only mean it legally, not, like, it sounds fucked up. But, I mean, like, he probably won't see any jail time, is what I mean.
Fine and some, maybe a suspended license or something. But.
Yeah, I actually hate to kind of say that because, you know, like you said, in the real world, so much bad stuff could have happened. But but football wise, it sounds like it's not quote unquote that serious. I mean, Ray Rice uppercut his woman on camera and he's already back giving press conferences.
But she did get a ring out of it.
Okay. he rang her bell.
No doubt.
She did get an apology in front of everyone on the camera about them.
Nope. He did not apologize to her. We watched
he
that.
He did not pull a Kobe. He did not get the $4 million ring. He did not apologize on air and pretend like he was about to cry. None of that.
I mean, she does now can legally say, you know, he take care of his kids and family. Yeah, family man.
Okay, man.
They one unit.
Can we move on to the next thing, man?
Come on, dog. She got an elevator ride out of it.
Come on, man. Come on. I mean, at least he's chivalrous and he carried across the threshold. I feel you, but come on, man. Come on, man.
He made an honest woman out of her.
Speaking of abusing these hoes, former TV exec says college pay is a dangerous path because if you pay the athletes, people might stop watching.
No, you won't.
What kind of reasoning is this, though?
Is this things that make you go, hmm?
That's so
it's worse
good.
Than that. Like, I bet he can't even explain that. Did he try to explain it in the article?
Yeah, he did. Hold on, I can read some
now,
of it.
This is when they might should do research just to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this would be another one of those research grants that, you know, $2-3 million spent on it to find out there aren't any adverse effects.
Yeah, I just felt like the thing from the Mac. The I Choose You to start playing anytime somebody says that shit.
I'll be your lover, your friend.
Yeah. Just in the background. See, baby, we can't pay these hoes. You give a bitch some money, she fuck around and lose her mind. he says, testifying in a landmark antitrust case brought against the NCAA, people might know it as the Ed O'Bannon trial. Neil Pilson said that giving athletes money for use of their images on television broadcasts might also set off a land rush among conferences and schools to spend whatever is needed to attract the best football and basketball players. Because they don't do that right now.
What he worried about is his price is going to go up higher. That's really what he worried about.
Hey, man, they do that now.
Right. Neil Pilson used to work for CBS. I remember that name.
Yes.
Is CBS guy?
Yeah, former TV exec. Yep, that's him, CBS Sports.
And it's funny because March Madness is not even the NCAA championship.
Nope.
Like, they don't call it the NCAA championship anymore. It's March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
It has its own entity that's separate from the NCAA. It's kind of like the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Federal Reserve. It's not a government building or a government entity. It's a private bank. So is March Madness. So to say these players are not, it's dangerous to play these players is ridiculous to me. But again, you know, these guys have no real reason to say that because they don't want to get up that money. But like Rod said, you know, they keep them looking good, pretty, and Nike and all that shit. But no.
Yeah.
He said, I have a substantial concern. It would change the fabric of the sport. A significant number of people in the public see one concept of college sports being that young people are playing for the joy of the game. It will convert into a sense that, well, this is just another professional sport.
How do you get paid?
Also, who are the dummies that don't think that already?
Yeah, like, right. I could see if he was, like, you know, one of these PAL leagues, and he was out here with Saturday with the kids, you know, doing his volunteering his time. But he getting paid. Unless the network gonna start volunteering time.
Right, but he's
for these volunteer.
But he's hitting athletes. He's hitting at the core of the hustle, though. Like, he's saying the reason I get paid is the illusion that this shit is a professional as is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, to me, if you peep game, he's basically telling you, oh, we know we full of shit. We can't pay him because we've sold that we don't pay him. You know, it's part of our product is we won't pay these niggas. So
right. You
ain't never got to worry about them, you know, bucking up. So don't worry about that. Just come watch the game. We'll pretend that we're giving them an education. We'll give them that African-American studies package.
But who truly believes that, like, these days? Like, I could see them selling that pipe dream years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he's protecting his money. But honestly, that ship has sold with most people. But you know what it is, though? Americans and college sports fans are like a John. Like, that the John that orders the girlfriend experience, where it's like we go out to dinner, and we go to a movie, then we go to the hotel room, I have sex with you. Now, I do pay you $1,600 in cash at the beginning of the night, but it's like you're my girlfriend. That's how Americans are with college sports right now, because they just want to believe. They know it's fucked up. They know it's wrong. But as long as you give them an excuse to believe the illusion, they're fine. When we started this show and we talked about Rashard McCants, Will said something that, you know, I've heard, I don't know, 1,000 times at this point. But it's like, well, Carolina's already had academic problems. So what are they going to do? And the reason that the NCAA continues to propagate is because we always go Carolina, Ohio State, you know, the Alabama. It's never, isn't the entire institution pretty fucked up? And it doesn't, like, it's not a gotcha game of like, oh, your team cheats like this, my team cheats like that. If you really think about it, it's like all these teams cheating.
Yep.
Why do y'all gotta cheat to give somebody what they supposed to want, which is an education? Oh, because nobody wants that shit. They want money, like anyone else who does a job. And people, wants money.
And the athlete's still not going to have to go to class. Like, I remember in high school, I went to school with a dude who didn't come to class but had all A's. He had the answers. Show up with answers to the test.
You know who I feel bad for? The 90-something percent of athletes that do got to take their ass to class because they're not that good. And right. they're not going to play a professional sport. So if they allow that, if they squander that opportunity, they really will fuck up their education and fuck up the rest of their lives.
No, they're messing up the program, because then the NCAA and Neil Pilson can't make commercials like, there are 400,000 student athletes who play Division I college sports, and all of them will go into something as a pro that's not sports or whatever the commercial is.
Yep.
That's messing up their hustle.
Yep.
So they have to go to class.
And the crux of all this shit is really a handful of people, which is amazing if you think about it. For the NBA, for instance, we're talking maybe 5 dudes a year, maybe. A good year, 5 high school dudes that can go straight to the NBA in some shape, form, or format. The NCAA is ready to be corrupt over that. You know what I mean? The NFL, they only, like, you know, there's like probably every year, I'd say maybe one player in the NFL that could come out of high school and contribute to any level of an NFL team. Like, it's not a lot of dudes, but they're that corrupt, man. They gotta have these dudes or nobody will watch.
Gotta have it all.
Crazy, man. It's crazy. Like, my solution to all this NCAA shit is just allow people to go pro out of high school. And then you don't have to worry about anything else. You don't even have to be corrupt. If you don't want to, you just go. If you come to college, it better be to get an education and play this game for free.
But with any great company, there is always great crime.
Yep.
And behind all that, the NCAA, behind Apple and Microsoft and everything else, there's something that happened that you know is nowhere close to legal.
Yep.
It's because they started it with corruption. They started it with corruption and don't know how to clean it up.
Every time.
But it's not about that they don't know how. They don't care to, because they don't have to. They have no obligation to, especially if you've been conditioned so much so that no matter what they do, you're still going to take that product.
Yep.
Donald Sterling, NCAA, UNC, Duke, whoever it is, you're going to buy that product. Mm-hmm. You can talk about, we can talk about this shit all day about how disgusting they are. We still watch the games.
Yep.
That's still go to the games.
Yep.
So
yep.
We're a part of, the, we're as, you know, complicit in the, and yep. the, bastardization of the idea in the first place.
Yep.
Because it needs us to make it grow as well.
That's what I'm.
Just remind me of people posting "Bring Back Our Girls" and then, but have R. Kelly playing in their car while they making that picture of "Bring Back Our Girls." Bring them back so R. Kelly can take advantage of them. You know what I mean? Like it's a system of.
I don't think there's any people like that, but I'll roll with you on that metaphor. That's a good ass metaphor. But yeah, man, I do think that everybody's complicit, and it's the opiate of the masses, man. Like. People just want to watch that shit veg out and not have to think about it. So, but yeah, I hope the dudes do find a way to get paid because I would feel better about watching it, honestly.
Yep.
Like, I can't, I've already talked about it many times, but I can't watch most college football. I can't. I'll try and then I watch a dude get hurt and I'll be like, this is some bullshit, man. These brothers out here risking their lives for fucking a 1% chance to go play pro somewhere and now this nigga ain't got no neck. Like, just turn that shit off every time, man. So I'll be trying though, but yeah, but I wouldn't feel so bad if I knew they were being compensated in an actual real way that wasn't fake education.
You know what would be good, and this is something that you know, as a former Division I student athlete myself, if we got insurance,
yes, I would love that.
Lasted at least until we were 50. Mm-hmm. You know. That's an obligation, okay? You have this much in health care, whatever. You get a stipend to live.
Yes.
You get a stipend to live, okay? So we'll pay you $3,000 a month just to live, and your salary is maybe $7,000 for the season, or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
I bet you guys wouldn't even be because they go, okay, I got paid to play something. It's still an amateur sport. All they're doing is supplementing how I have to live in order to not only go to school, but to sustain myself outside of a normal student. I hate to say the word normal.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You still have to go to class too. We have a different agenda. We have different responsibilities because we have to go to class and to practice.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot that goes on with that. But if you can compensate those guys because we build the new science wing on the campus, mm-hmm. we build the new arena on the campus, we build the new library on the campus. But what do we get as a result? So even in that, and I'm talking off the top of my head as far as numbers and stuff because I don't have the actual numbers. But that kind of compensation, I don't think any student athlete would say, you know what, that's not enough for me.
Right. I agree.
Think that's the fear.
Yeah. And not only that, but all of them. Like not just the ones on scholarship.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't because if you're playing badminton and some shit. Now this is where I draw the line.
Yeah, me too.
the real sports.
I'm not even saying real sports. If you're not a revenue generating sport, mm-hmm. you cannot get with the guys who generate the revenue. Dude, it's like it's your job. Mm-hmm. You can't go to work and be like, okay, I want to make what the president makes because we all work here together. Exactly. No. That's not the world we live in.
Well, you know what it is, Will, is for the vast majority of student athletes, school is the goal. Like school is good. I go to class. I want this paper. I want this degree. They're paying for me to be here. My shit doesn't actually generate revenue. So I am getting the hookup. That's like,
you earn that. You earn that too, especially if they're paying for you to go to school. You earn that part of it. So at the very least, like those kind of athletes who do get hurt.
Yeah.
If they get like even you get levels of insurance as well. You know, you might get a level of stipend for that, but you're not going to get the $3,000. You're not going to get the max.
I'm not saying they don't earn it. I'll put it this way. They work for it, but the money doesn't equal what they get.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like other sports.
You're not going to go to play pro badminton in like Singapore or some shit.
Right.
For $40,000 a year. It's not going
to
happen.
If 50 people show up to watch you play volleyball, it's not really paying for itself. But you know what I mean? No offense because it's hard work. You know what I mean? And some people do want to see that stuff. But it's the revenue sports. And more importantly, it's a few dudes. Like people hate to talk about it, but it's sports is truly a meritocracy. It's a few niggas that's worth this money, dog. Most of the dudes on, like, when I watch college basketball, I'll be like, yo, man, I'm so glad NBA is on. Like, I will look at a game and be like, yo, five of these dudes shouldn't even be on a court.
They shouldn't even be on a bench.
Right. Yep.
I watch them in layup line. I'm like, dog, how'd you make this team?
Right.
So Will, what about then, because I know you said D1, what about like cats that's in the MEAC or CIAA or SWAC, you know, conferences?
It's not the same thing because they don't generate the kind of revenue that D1 schools do. It's just simple. If the ACC has a package with the ESPN that they paid $1 billion for, and they generate $3 billion for it, they recoup their money, they take their cut, they cut in everybody else in the conference based on what they, the sports they had, and they chip it off that way. That's too much sense, though. I'm making too much sense with that part of it. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, because when you start to make sense, then it takes away from their dollars, and you don't want to do that. So.
Yep, I agree, man. It's difficult to solve exactly how, but I just know the system as constructed isn't fair. Ukraine loses the 2015 Euro Basketball Championship because Ukraine is nothing to fuck with. there's a lot of instability over there. Anybody has been paying attention to the news? It was supposed to be one of three of the planned host cities for the 2014 tournament that were located in volatile eastern Ukraine, where government troops are fighting pro-Russian separatists. Following Russia's annexation of Crimea in March, tournament director Markian Lovkivsky said that hosting the event was no longer possible.
You did a good job with that name, buddy.
Hey, man, this is why I get paid, man. But Ukrainian and European basketball authorities have tried to keep the project alive. FIBA, what could you possibly be saying?
Hey, man, I know we war torn, but shit, our facilities are top shelf.
I just imagine any plan they come up with involves kidnapping somebody. I don't equate it to actually having diplomacy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I just imagine it involves somebody saying, so having the people we kidnapping.
What is that? I just want to know, what is that phone call like to convince FIBA, where it's like, you know, hello, this is FIBA. Yeah, man.
Nope. Will you accept this collect call? Hey. Will you accept this collect call from Ukraine?
It's me from the Ukraine, man. Hey, dog. I heard y'all backing out, man. What's going on? Why y'all backing out, bro? Y'all should come through. It's pretty straight, man. It's pretty safe here. So, you know, y'all should chill out, man. I don't know what you heard, but you know, we doing all right, bro.
You dealing with the collect call operator first.
Yeah.
Before any of that.
Yeah.
Will you accept this collect call?
Yeah, collect call from the Ukraine. collect call from the Ukraine from
Damn, he always calling me collect.
Yeah. Would you accept a call from Pete? Hey, man, hurry up, pick up, man. It's me from the Ukraine, dog. Hurry up. That's how people in prison used to call my dorm, by the way. Hey, dog, don't hang up, man. Just let me talk to you for a second. Hold on, player.
Shouts out to Fanville. No disrespect.
Yeah.
Fan, no.
I used to have to pick up the phone, and it'd be like, can you transfer me to this girl's room? Like, no, nigga. Stop calling my phone. But, yeah, Ukraine ain't going to get that championship, bro. I mean, come on.
And that is why I would not want to play
overseas. Yo, man, but it's some safe places to play. It's some pretty dope places to play overseas.
I almost got jumped in Riga, Latvia, though.
Okay, now where is that?
right. He said it like we was going to know.
It's Eastern Europe. Oh, okay. It's like Latvia and all those Balkan states in there. It's up in there. It's like near Russia.
Now, why'd you almost get jumped? What was you doing?
Winning?
I was black.
Oh. Is in the elevator with Solange.
No, just going down the street. And
why was
you
walking down the street, Will?
And this cat who was playing out there, because I was looking for a place to play after playing in France. I was like, well, I'm going to go visit him, see what they're about, whatever. And we're hanging out. We left a restaurant, and we're walking down the street, and this group of white dudes started coming toward us because he had some girls with him. You know, we were hanging out, whatever. And the streets. And they were like, yo, what are y'all doing here? Whatever. I'm like, are y'all the cops? Like, you know, but I'm being smart too, because these guys probably fought for their breakfast this morning. I just woke up.
Right.
So, you know, I could be all tough guy like I'm in New York or something like that. But these cats like fight every day just to eat.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, let me play the situation right. So I'm talking to him like, hey, you know, we didn't come over here to start nothing. We're going to go on our way. I'm sorry if you guys feel this way, but, you know, it's not about being tough or being the American guy trying to be, I'm black. I can take anybody, because these dudes shoot too. These bullets don't have like discriminatory practices or anything like that. So at the end of the day, you know, they were just talking real tough and they kind of ran up on us a little bit, but nothing happened. But if that was what would happen, just walking out of the restaurant up the street in Latvia, I couldn't imagine what would happen. You saw about the same thing with the World Cup and Balotelli a couple of years ago and the World Cup qualifiers, something like that, that happened in, it was somewhere in probably Ukraine, the funny part of Bulgaria or something. But yeah, it's kind of shaky over there, man.
Yeah, well, kind of shaky. I mean, it's got to be better.
I love the experience.
It's got to be better going to the club in Ukraine, though. Y'all girls trying to get out of here. Oh shit! Hold on, get down. Hold on. We're gonna get to the car, but I'm gonna need you to go first, and then I'm gonna roll. Oh, damn! One down, one man down.
That's why Patrick Beverly is not going back.
Yeah, Patrick Beverly be playing like he never going back.
Playing basketball in Brazil was like that too, though. And you heard about how they were talking about the World Cup and moving people out of the favelas and trying to get a certain element away from the games and stuff.
Yeah.
If you didn't have a pass, you had to get a pass from the guy who ran the favela to hang out in certain places in Rio and in Sao Paulo or whatever, or you get jacked, yo.
Damn.
They do not care.
Here's the thing, man. You can't just keep crossing the street like the Mavericks on the Wood. When the time you see somebody coming,
yeah, sometimes
they fit the profile. Yeah. You can't just keep crossing the street. Will
sometimes you gotta get a hood pass.
Hey, dog. Sometimes you can't just cross the street because then if they know, it's like seeing when a dog sees that you're shook, he's gonna bite you anyway.
I can't be like Frogger, just keep going back and forth real quick.
Hey, man,
you might have to kick that dog, yo.
Hey, I talked to my man Larry, who played overseas one time, back in the day. And he was telling me he was on the street that had car bomb.
Shit.
I was like, nigga, what? Hey. I would have been home so fast.
First flight home.
He was like, man, I still had a contract. I was like, man, fuck a contract. Hey, man, come get your money in America.
I wonder if that's why Leah never smiles anymore.
Nah, Leah played some nice places. She like France and shit, Seattle Mystics or whatever, like. She played for some nice. She played some good places, man.
I don't know, man. Cause Leah can ball. It's a young lady.
She just don't smile because she playing against a bunch of dudes and it's not a game. She trying to bust y'all ass. She smiled when she talked to me.
I'm not talking about regular conversation. I'm talking about like if you just see her walking. She used to smile when she come from like on breaks from Carolina and stuff like that.
Nah, she smiled when she see me. I don't know. You must have bad impression.
Nah, me and Leah cool.
That's what you think.
I know we cool.
I'm telling you, I ain't never noticed no not smiling.
I'm not even saying when I'm around. I'm just saying like if I see her doing something, like say I'm walking by, I happen to see her. I could be in the weight room and I see her walking by to come in through the windows. You know what I'm saying? She just be looking angry like.
I don't know. I never seen her really looking angry, man. I don't know. But I'm a beacon of hope. Yeah, I carry good attitude wherever you go, Jay. All right, man. Last segment of the show. Gotta do it. La 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 la. Hey, Mamba. That's right. Kobe Bryant news. Kobe Bryant, the Black Mamba, is promoting his documentary at Critics Press Tour. We talked about how he was working on the documentary for a while. Apparently, he's putting out a full court press on the nation's TV critics. The Los Angeles Lakers star is scheduled to appear on this summer's Television Critics Association press tour to promote Kobe Bryant's Muse, a feature-length documentary about his life, inspirations, and challenges that will air on Showtime this fall. Can't wait to see this. The documentary.
I wonder how many. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Now, I was just wondering how many friends he interviewed for that because that was been the shortest part.
Yeah, I do want to see that actually. I know Derek Fish gonna be in there probably. That's his boy.
Probably. Now, Smith Barker.
Yeah, no, Smush won't be in there. Smush ain't got enough accolades up here on his, on his documentary. He cut that footage. The documentary, which is being directed by Gautam Chopra, is currently in production. Steven Espinoza, executive vice president and general manager of Showtime Sports, said the film will offer viewers a deep character portrait of a professional athlete who has transcended his sport to be a culture-moving personality. Now, that's
really?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I guess, well, we did see that one Asian dude crying and shit when he met Kobe. That was funny. I don't know about culture moving, because I just feel like he's a lot like Mike, where he doesn't take many stances on any issues. So,
but Michael Jordan, he transcended his sport.
Yeah,
there's no gap that Jordan does, because how many years has it been, like almost what, 15 years since he retired?
Yeah,
and people are still killing each other over his shoes, you know, and he's still a figure that people remember.
Yeah,
I don't think he affects the greater world population the way that Jordan did, even though he has a deal with Turkish Airlines to promote their airline or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else he's doing.
Yeah, I know, I guess he's like
big in China.
You know what it is, man? Because I want to see. I'm actually curious about this documentary. I'm not joking. Although I'm being tongue in cheek about some of it, I do want to see like what he means by that. Like. But he does say he's an international person that's more like worldly motivated rather than just local U.S. shit. So maybe he got stuff going on. I'm not in tune with, because I don't keep up with him overseas or anything like that. I know he goes overseas on trips and shit a lot. I'd like to see what he thinks, but I don't know. People going to shit on this documentary, man.
I'm sure it's going to show his work with homeless here in United States. So he probably has things that he does in each country that he'll work on while he's there.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes a good documentary though.
I mean, it probably won't be the main focus, but it's going to touch on it. You know what I mean?
It's funny, man. Cause
what work with the homeless that Kobe does? I didn't know anything about that.
He had a charity. I think we covered it on the show.
He has a charity. He always hosts events and things like that where he has like other athletes donate like millions of dollars to help,
Yeah, he actually had a lot of shit.
Towards homelessness, too.
He had a lot of shit he does for charity, too. I remember, After School All Stars, national charity that provides after school programs to 72,000 inner city kids. He's the official ambassador of that.
I forget the name.
Who's the other? Kobe and Vanessa Bryant Family Foundation, which is dedicated to improving the lives of youth and families in need, both domestically and globally. By providing financial resources and developing unique programs, the foundation strives to strengthen communities through education and cultural enrichment opportunities.
Let me ask y'all a question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Being in Charlotte, if Kobe had stayed in Charlotte when he got drafted number 13 in the 96 draft, would he have won a title in Charlotte in these years in the league? Yes or no?
I'm going to go with yes. I don't think he would have won, what, five? But I think he would have won one.
With who? What was the lineup?
I don't know, because I feel like good players bring good players. You know what I mean? As long as their city isn't shit. So I feel like he's good enough to
have. But we didn't know that at the time. We just knew he was a high school guy. He got drafted number 13. So it wasn't like Andrew Wiggins or something.
Wait, are we assuming that he wouldn't be good or what? Because I'm assuming.
I don't know if we're going to say he wouldn't be good or not, but they drafted at 13 for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, he was an unproven commodity.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Him like Garnett the year before.
But they traded Vlade Divac for him for a reason, too.
Yeah.
Because somebody...
Well, Jerry West knew something.
Yeah, he knew something, dog. So, I don't know, man. I feel like I would say yes, but that's mostly out of respect for his talent, not... Because I think Charlotte is the greatest organization or anything. I just feel like he's talented, driven, and somebody would have tried to put somebody around him. And he would have at least had a shot at some success here. But I don't know. Winning the championship seems like a lot to ask. I mean, Shaq didn't even win a championship in Orlando when he first got there. And that's Shaq. You know what I mean?
Well, so, he went to the final game 2 years into the league, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and they lost. They got swept.
They got swept. Yeah, they got killed. And they had a nice team.
Yeah. He did have Penny Hardaway and those other guys.
Yeah, I don't believe Kobe is like some infallible, you know, deity that just because he wants it, they will win a championship. I mean, if you making me pick between like his first, what is your for rookie contract? 5 to 7 years or something?
Yeah. Back then it was 5 years.
Okay.
I think the last guy who had that 5-year contract was Charlie Ward.
Well, if it's in his first 5 years, then
no, it's before that. So no, Kobe didn't have that contract then.
Yeah, then no, because then that's not enough time. He was coming out of high school. If it would have been like, if you said, well, Kobe's going to stay in Charlotte for guaranteed 10 years before he thinks about leaving, then I say, yeah, probably, because that's enough time to, you know, lure some people here. But I don't know. Him coming out of high school, I remember him coming out of high school. He was just trying hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember them air balls. I remember them, like, why the fuck would you reverse that when you could have just laid it up moments? And he was just a young dude that loved Jordan, man, as much as he says he didn't.
Right.
Kobe Bryant leads record crowd on walk to fight homelessness. This was what we read November 23rd, 2013. Yeah, he do shit, man. Like,
I had no idea.
Yeah. Dude, because only thing people talk about is how much they don't like this nigga.
Yeah, one time he did it online. One time he even did it online. Like, they streamed it online so you could watch it.
Yeah. It's funny because we cover Kobe Bryant news every week. It kind of started as a running gag, but, you know, it's fun. Because he's such a volatile figure. But, yeah, it's funny because I think we talked about it with LeBron when we started the show. People don't care about what you do off the court. You know what I mean? Like, as far as good shit, it's just the bad shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can help 1 million homeless people. You didn't give a fuck. You cheated on your girl. you snitched on Shaq. You done. You are done.
You left as a free agent. Like, yep. Okay.
You done on these streets now.
Yep.
No doubt.
But anyways, it's Bryant, who was scheduled to return to the Lakers this season after missing most of last season due to injury, is one of the executive producers of the documentary along with Chopra. By the way, they also said his knee is 100%. I don't know about that shit, but okay. You know.
What's 100% of 25%?
Exactly. Exactly. It wasn't 100% before it got hurt.
Right.
So that's wishful thinking. Hey man, check out Will. One-on-one with my man Dwayne Sweets Watson, which sounds like a pimp name, but when you talk to him, man, he's just a cool dude.
Definitely got questions in the chat.
Oh shit, you're right, I almost forgot. Let me answer these questions. Let's get here. Rod just saw Kobe at the World Cup. He in Brazil, dog, watching the Spain Netherlands game. International, baby, that's what he does. Ain't no other NBA players watching soccer right now. Kobe.
Well, you know what? Maybe LeBron, because he's part owner of what's the team he
Man U?
Manchester U?
Yeah. Well, he can't go. He's in the finals.
Yeah. You know, they have other priorities right now, I guess.
Yeah, Kobe. Yeah, he got to worry about this. He could go after Sunday, possibly. Hopefully not, but possibly.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Like, I know if I saw him booking some Priceline tickets to go his ass, to go to Brazil. If I was one of the other players, I'd have to call him out.
He got TJ Hooker on speed dial.
Yeah, nope. Dog.
He told his wife to take care of the arrangements.
Yeah, if
he's smart, it's not.
Talk about a TMZ story that would go crazy. You find out he bought some tickets before that series is over. Do you see Kobe historically underrated now that he hasn't played injury-free ball in the last year and a half? It seems everyone's passed him over, don't even consider him top 10 player all time. Here's the thing. One, when you're not playing, ain't nobody think about your ass. And it's going to happen when he retires, too. Yeah. The good news is he will start to get overrated after he retires, too, which is my favorite thing. Because Michael Jordan never lost a game. I don't know if y'all have known.
He never missed a shot.
Yeah, like he's the most amazing player of all time. This dude went to the finals every year and won the championship.
Yep.
Did you know that Michael Jordan got shot 8 times and still played in a flu game?
Yep. And he actually took a year and a half off to give the league some hope. It wasn't because of gambling or nothing.
No, they didn't tell him to sit it down, you know. Or
yeah, no disrespect.
Nothing like that.
No disrespect.
Yeah, and don't worry. I will be part of the people historically overrating Kobe Bryant and sizing up every achievement he ever had. So don't. like, if you follow me on Twitter, you don't ever have to worry about Kobe being underrated, because I'm gonna be saying all the dumb shit, like he's better than Jordan, Shaq would have never won without him, you know, that shit.
Yeah, all jokes aside, I do believe, though, if his shoes become, like, if sneakerheads start to worship his shoes, mm-hmm. and things like that, I think it'll extend his
legacy.
Don't
think it'll happen, because his rep in the streets just not Teflon like that. Nope. Matter of fact, it's not even really his fault. It just, he came along after there was one dude who sold shoes. You know what I mean? Jordan got to be the dude that sold shoes. And then all these other players realized how big a source of revenue that could be. But Jordan got that major first, it's mine shoe deal. I got a brand. Can you even see Kobe having like Kobe brand, you know, with players wearing his shit? I just can't see it. I love Kobe, but you know what? I say that though. Let me take that back. I say that as a 35-year-old man. There might be a kid right now that's 17 that's like, I want to wear Kobe Bryant. If he come out with Kobe Bryant brand, I'll rock that shit. Because routinely at the Y, when I talk to kids, them niggas don't care about no snitching, cheating, any of that shit. They love them some Kobe, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, they love it. and they still sell his shoes.
Yeah.
And Foot Locker in the back, in the section in the back.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? Let me back off of that, because I'm speaking for me. I can't see it, but you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if 4 years from now, the best players in the NBA are like, oh, I grew up worshiping Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, because you don't wait in line for Jordans either.
Yeah, I don't wear shoes like that. Fuck that.
You know what I mean? So it's not.
Wait in line for anything except the DMV. yeah, it seems everyone passed him over. The other thing is, man, on the low, niggas is passing him if they haven't already. Tim Duncan, if he get this fifth ring, it's not even debatable. Tim Duncan's career is Teflon. You
know? All right, so is Duncan top five?
For me, he is, man.
So who gets pushed out of top five?
I was going to say, my qualifier on this is I don't rank people I never saw play.
Okay, I got you.
So I can't say like Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell. I didn't grow up watching them. I'm just going by my pops. He say Oscar right. Robertson was the truth. He the truth, I guess. the people I seen in my lifetime, though, man, I put Shaq up there. Gotta put Timmy up there, Jordan up there. I still put LeBron up there, man. I know it's not over yet, but damn, man, I just never seen nobody this good.
Yeah.
This shit, he like a basketball cyborg, man. He make every right decision. Then I don't know, for my fifth, damn, I guess that's where Kobe is. There's gotta be somebody. Who else have been winning championships? That's about it.
Like, do you count Magic?
Yeah, Magic. But I would go Kobe over Magic though. I think Kobe defensively had some years at the top, and Magic defensively just never had that.
Hakeem.
But you know what? For me, when I look at Magic, and I rate him over Jordan, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because Jordan played in the weakest era in NBA history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There were six expansion teams in 8 years, mm-hmm. between 1988 and 1996, coinciding when Michael Jordan started winning championships. Mm. I'm just saying, by then, Bird was gone.
Yep, Magic was gone.
Dr. J was gone. Isaiah was gone. All those guys were gone. The new era, he caught a transition. I can't be mad at him for the era.
Well, but also, again,
to look at all the variables that also went into him winning.
He also caught a transition of height. Like, he was on the cutting edge of the 6'6 shooting guard. Like,
right.
That shooting guard went from 6'2 to 6'6 because of him. Like, right. So, I mean, he was ahead of the curve for a few years where it's like, you're not going to block his shot. He's more athletic than you, and you're 6'2". Craig Eloy, I can double pump this in your face, fade away, and still hit this. And you can't you already landed. You know what I mean? I'm still going up. So, I do
think. He had like Joe Dumars guarding him at 6'2", 6'3". Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. I guess the only reason I didn't put Magic over there is I feel like Magic had a better team. Like, he had players that, like, MVP of the league before, all-stars with, you know, James Worthy, Byron Scott, but maybe I'm romantic. But
you know what? I'm gonna take that from you because he played with the MVP in 1980, who was injured in game 6. They were about to lose to Philly. Yep, and he played the single shot. Most, the single greatest NBA Finals game in history.
Yeah.
He was 20 years old.
Yeah, that was a beast. It,
so on that, a guy who played 11 years in the NBA and went to the finals 9 times, won 5, lost 4. Like for me, but, in the greatest era in NBA history, the 80s, the competition, the level of play, not even close to any other era in the history of the game. And he went to the finals 9 times in 11 years.
Well, I'm going to take that from you. Kobe Bryant scored 81 points on the Toronto Raptors. Now, that's Canadian points. Like, that's $1.75. That's international. I feel you, man.
And was it 50 of those in one half?
Yeah, I don't even really do top 5 list and shit because my list always got 10 people in it. I'm not going to front, man. Mm-hmm. I'm already wanting to put Hakeem on my list, Barkley on my list. Like, it's too many people, man. That was a great era of basketball to me. And I didn't see enough of the era before that to really be a good judge, man. So I don't know. But I don't think Kobe is in my top 5. But if he is, it's like borderline and shit. So no offense to Kobe, man. I think he has gotten underrated, though, because that nigga was second in the league in scoring to Kevin Durant 2 years ago. He old. Right. Yep. He's not supposed to be able to do that.
And he let Kevin Durant win.
Right. He could have been an asshole and been like, let me play this last game.
Well, he was already an asshole. Let's be clear on that part.
Well, he not.
But if you take 40 shots a game, you should be scoring champion.
Yeah, he could have. Well, KD shoots a lot, too.
Yeah, and who's going to take him when you got Smush Parker as your guard?
Right. I mean, let's be honest now. David Robinson, who everybody thinks is a nice guy, stole his. Like, he was like, oh, let me go get 80 real quick. And everybody was like, nigga, what?
He stole it from Shaq that time. Yeah. Shaq was about to be scoring champion. They had beef back in the day.
And if you would have put money on it before it happened, 90% of people would have said Kobe's going to be petty and go get this. And he didn't, dog. So I'm giving him props on that for being magnanimous. Even though I think it's because he likes them young dudes. Them young dudes like him. So, that's the first generation that actually likes him. His peers are like, fuck you. Like, if that would have been, let me think of somebody that.
You know who's more revered from that era?
Yeah.
Than Kobe is Allen Iverson.
Yeah, yeah, those kids love him too.
That's why Kobe won't have the same street cred as Allen Iverson.
Yeah, he'll never have that.
The same love as Iverson because of who he is.
Yeah, he'll never have that. Yeah, that's impossible. He'll never have street cred. It's impossible. He's not from the street.
Yeah, but
and that's why he can't sell those shoes like that. He's not going to. Kids are not going to. They can buy Allen Iverson, even if they redo the shoe and it looks ugly, which they have done. Mm-hmm. Kids are still buying those shoes.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me.
Well, Iverson did something that will always immortalize him, which is make every short nigga I know grow cornrows and go to the court and shoot way too many shots.
Yeah, crossover.
Yeah, that kind of impact cannot be measured. Only in lost games at the park and people getting in fights.
No doubt. What about when they instituted the dress code? And son showed up at the beginning of the season with a $150,000 check.
Yes.
And said, it is what it is.
You're right.
I'm coming like this, dog.
He's an infamous rebel, man. Yeah. So, let's see. Leonard Brother says, I keep telling y'all if Wade dribbles the ball 3 or more times, there's going to be trouble. I don't even remember him saying this. Also, if you put Wade in a position where he's making a decision with the ball, you're either going to take a bad shot, which is still bad, even if he makes it, or he's going to force a pass. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Dwayne Spades. That's what we call him, dog. He be floating them fucking. It's like, damn, we still playing hearts? Like, every time.
I mean, no disrespect, but I just want somebody to swing at him one good time. Land one good punch on him.
DP, just like him. DB put a picture of Adam Silver's girlfriend. Damn, man, we got some TMZ investigators in this song. In this room. I just mentioned that in passing, bro. When the picture's low. Oh, it's a white chick, man. So, all right. I hear you, Adam. That's even better. He just did it for the team, man. I appreciate him, you know, not even needing a black girlfriend, George Lucas.
Not going to show the pic?
Oh, I don't care. She wasn't that hot, man. I'm not going to put the picture up. Sorry. She wasn't worth it.
No disrespect, Adam.
No disrespect, Adam. Thank you for looking out for the brothers. LBM isn't Kobe friend Cristiano Ronaldo. In any case, Spain caught the beat him down from the Netherlands. Oh, so I guess Ronaldo and Kobe are friends.
Kobe like, cool with international stars, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, but those Netherlands jerseys are hot. I like the or they call it the kit. Mm. So let me use the right terminology.
All right. And looks like we have this video of three ridiculous questions with Kobe Bryant from Jimmy Kimmel last night. I will play this and put it in the chat, and then we're going to get out of here.
If you were a woman, what would you want your name to be?
Well, growing up, I had two friends.
I believe it.
Yep, a lot. That's it.
Two. Mm-hmm.
Brother and sister. Mm-hmm. His name was Man, and her name was Woman.
No. Kobe All has... Right,
just, wait. This dude is lying.
Kobe
he,
had
he was
friends.
He was alone a lot as a kid.
Man and woman. Okay.
He said they were brother and sister.
They were brother and sister. Okay.
Wait. Swear. Man and woman?
Man and woman.
Those are the most uncreative parents ever.
Yeah, oh, I mean, my God.
Bastard creative. You probably won't go anywhere in the world and find somebody named Man and Woman.
Woman, get in here.
Woman.
Woman.
Come here, woman.
You count to four.
That's the Mr. T. Come here, woman.
I show you a real man. Oh man.
English accent.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Four in an English accent.
I suppose. One, two, three, four. I don't know. I just mimic, but they sound like in Harry Potter.
I thought that was pretty good.
Was it really?
Yeah. Very Potter-esque.
I mean, you know.
If you could fly, would you go to the bathroom in the sky, or would you do it in private?
I'd go in the sky.
I'd go in the sky, too.
Yeah, right?
I'd go every place. Right.
Just from one dump, see how many cars you can hit. Not a freeway, because God knows my windshield gets hit all the time.
You know what would be the best is if you could find a bird driving a car.
Well, you just fly above the birds and just...
Get them back.
Oh, yeah.
Vengeance.
Absolutely.
To vengeance.
To vengeance.
Crown Royal. The answer to all life's ridiculous questions. For more.
Oh, my God.
Listen, man, listen.
How can you not love Kobe, Will?
I'm just saying that here's the thing. The last question works only and only if he does it with a chambermaid from a Colorado spa in the sky. That's the only way it works.
Come on, Governor. He gave you a British accent and whatnot. One, two, three. Come on, bloke. Come on, bloody A.
I just like that he's so petty that he was like, before they even said birds was driving the cars, he was like, oh, I was shit on people's cars.
Bloody right. A.
It tells you a lot about Kobe, right?
Will,
there.
He said yeah. He had two friends. Their brother, sister.
Man.
Named Man.
And Woman.
And Woman.
What were their last names?
We would have known that a long time ago if this is real.
I don't even know if that's real.
I know it's not real.
Right. How can you not love that?
Like, who wrote that?
How can you not love that? Bloody A, Governor.
Oh, my God. All right, man. Look,
taking
we got
a dump on your car window.
We got to get out of here, man. My man Will has been extremely generous with his time.
Will has been great, man.
Thank you, man, so much for being on the show. Y'all check out One-on-One with Will and Dwayne. Like I said, Dwayne Sweets Watson. Named far more pimpish than Dwayne attempts to be, but he's still a great guy. And follow Will on Twitter, man, @WallStrizzle1. And I'll have it in the show notes for y'all so y'all can click on it and go there and stuff, man. Thanks to everybody that came out in the chat live and all the people that listen later. We'll talk to y'all then. Peace out.
Peace.